BBC WM
95.6.
Teachers, if you don't like it, get out of it.
Pensioners who can't do anything to boost her income.
Abduction? As far as I'm aware, she actually went willingly.
Ian Lee, Saturdays.
9 till 12. BBC WM
95.6.
Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM, sitting in for Nick Conrad. Don't worry, it's only a temporary measure. He's getting married. How long does it take to get married? He's off for 4 weeks. How long does it take? Well, it's a couple of hours at most. I think he's giving you short shrift, dear listener, but he will be back soon. I'm filling in for the next few weeks, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself last week. You're all... some of you were quite charming to me. Some of you were rather rude, let's be honest, but that's all part of the fun. Lots coming up this morning, including... the EDL are going to have another march in Birmingham. Well, it's free speech, isn't it? Shouldn't we let them march? We'll be talking as well about Andy Murray and his little whinge that he had last night. Did you like to see whinging in sport and disrespecting of the officials? And shouldn't we have a Margaret Thatcher Day? Bank holiday in August, and MP is calling for it to be Margaret Thatcher Day. But before that, we'll be talking about common names.
Call 08453 009956.
Ian Lee on BBC WM
95.6.
Now, I'm assuming that there are people listening this morning. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. It's the nicest day of the year we've had so far. Driving in. Oh, even I thought about just carrying on driving past the mailbox and going somewhere else. It crossed my mind. It was gorgeous. How can it be this... The interesting thing is, we're all going, oh, isn't it lovely, and it's going to last for the rest of July. As it should, it's summer. Summer's meant to be like this, but we've had such a miserable June and start to July. Oh, thank you so much. A little bit of sunshine. Well, if you are listening this morning, I appreciate shunning the sun to listen to this nonsense. Lots of stuff this morning that I know you're going to want to have your say on. I'll give the contact details in a bit. You know them already, but for anybody who's perhaps listening for the first time, I'll give you the contact details in a bit. There's a cracking story that kind of... Well, it started off in the week on This Morning, a show that I watch from time to time, you know, with Pip Schofield, the Silver Fox, and Holly Willoughby. And it's just, it's one of those stories that's just expanded. This is when things like Twitter and Facebook really come into their own, because stories like this just spread. Judging kids by their names. Do you do it? Well, Katie Hopkins. Now, you may remember her. She was in The Apprentice 6 years ago, I think, 2007. She gave a little bit of cheek to Sir Alan Sugar. I think she kind of said, no, I think you're wrong on this, Sir Alan, at some point. Or is he Lord Sugar? Or is he King Sugar? I don't know. Anyway, Shugsy, the Amstrad guy. She was on that. I think she's also been on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, The Jungle. Program. Well, she has caused, and it is outrage, by claiming she didn't like children with, and I quote, lower class names. Now, some of the examples she gives of lower class names include Charmaine, Chantel, Dwayne, and Tyler. Right? And she doesn't like her kids playing with kids like that, and she would actively stop her children, and I'll tell you the names of her children in a little bit, from playing with these kids. You know, are you playing with a Dwayne? No, I don't. Can Tyler come round for tea? No, I don't think so. Well, what do you think? Listen, if you've got kids called Charmaine, Chantel, Dwayne and Tyler, oh, you have to give me a call. I'd love to speak to you about this. I'll go through some of the other names a bit later on that she's not keen on. What do you think? Do you judge kids by their names? I guess to a certain extent... We all do, don't we? We all, however much we say we don't judge people by first appearances, we do. We judge them by the first look, and when we hear their name, or if we read their name written down, or we hear it on a telephone, we kind of make a snap decision about that person, don't we? 08453 009956. Casey's going to be joining me on the show in a little bit as well, in about 15 minutes' time, so we will have fun. She's also said something about ginger people. Yeah, I know. I'll ask her about that when she comes on. But what do you think? Have you made decisions or choices based on the names of kids, your kids' friends? Is it a little bit unfair... to do it. Because it's not the kids that chose the names. Maybe we should be making the choices about the parents. Now, I say it's caused outrage, because I thought, oh, this is kind of a nice little story. I'll have a look into this. And when I tweeted... Yes, I know. When I tweeted that she was coming on the show, I got abuse for it. How dare you let this vile woman come on the air? What on earth are you paying this woman for? We're not paying her, by the way. She's coming on for free, so you can forget that. You shouldn't be giving this woman the airtime. You've lost one listener. I've lost one listener before I've even started here. I'm on minus figures already. And it kind of ties in with the EDL thing we're talking about later on, free speech. Let's go through some of the names she's tweeted here. Let's have a look at this. The head would like to know why Harrison has come to World Book Day dressed as a Nintendo 3DS. I think that's quite funny. Rhiannon, if you aren't here by the time I count to five, you're in big trouble. Rhiannon struggles above three. If your kids have got any of these names... do give me a call. 0845 300 9956. We all do it, don't we? I was vaguely outraged when I heard this yesterday, and then my wife tweeted me and said, yeah, but do you remember when I suggested the name Tyrone for our kids, and you went, ooh, that's a horrible common footballer's name? And I did. I did. I'm ashamed to say. Katie Hopkins, is she bang out of order? Is she being horrible and classist? Is that a word? Snooty. Is she being a bit snooty? Or is she actually saying kind of what we're all thinking, but we don't really want to say that, yeah, we do judge kids who've got names like Chantel and Charmaine. Chardonnay is the one, isn't it? Chardonnay. What was that from? Prisoner's Wives, wasn't it? No, not Prisoner's Wives. Footballers' wives. No, prisoners' wives is the nickname I have for a greasy spoon near me. We call it prisoners' wives. Don't ask why. It's very disrespectful to the women that run it. But we all make these judgments, don't we? And do you remember there was a fashion? There's lots of kind of women in their early 20s now called Kylie. Lots of Kylies. Because Kylie Minogue was a big pop star in the mid-80s. And it's impossible, isn't it, to make these judgments? So while I am slightly outraged by Katie Hopkins and what she's had to say, a little bit of me is thinking, I can kind of see her point. Listen, phone up or text in with your kids' names. She's going to be on about 10 minutes. So text in with your kids' names now, and we'll put them to her. We'll do the Hopkins test on your child's name to see what she thinks of that name. You can text in 81333. Start your text WM. I'd like your children's names, please, if you'd be so bold. And we'll put them to the Hopkins test. Do bear in mind, she probably won't be holding back. So she could be a little bit rude about your kids. Or you can call in. Call in if you've got a Tyler or a Dwayne or a Chesney or a Rhiannon. 0845 300 9956. You can ask her yourself, or if you're called that. I suspect, you know, sometimes you listen to a radio show, or in my case, you present a radio show, and you think, ah, yeah, I think we'll have some good stuff today. I think we might get a few. I think today could be the day it kicks off. I've got a feeling. You wait till you hear what she said about ginger children. I'm saving that for a little bit later on. 08453 00 9956 is the telephone number. You can text me as well. 81333. Start your text WM. What do you think? Do you judge kids by their names? Would you stop your children playing with kids that were called Charmaine, Chantel, Dwayne, Tyler? Does your child have a lower class name? 08453 00 9956. Well, Katie Hopkins is the person that's put out these views. Katie joins me now. Morning, Katie. Goodbye, Katie. She's just put the phone down, I think. I don't know. We'll try and get her back. Let's get her back after the travel. Don't worry. There's no rush. We'll get her. 08453 00 9956. I remember choosing, and I'm not going to say my kids' names in advance, not because they're Dwayne's and Chantel's. I'm always very secretive about my kids' names, so I'll flag that up now. They're not going to be mentioned on the air. But it is the hardest thing in the world, isn't it? Is choosing your children's names. You get those books, and we had those books. 10,001 children's names. And it's not a very exciting read, because it is just a lot of children's names. And it's kind of pointless, isn't it? Really. Choose it. I remember we chose my first son's name at a Fleetwood Mac concert. I know. How middle class. We were at a Fleetwood Mac concert, and my wife just suddenly went, how about this, this, this and this? It's got four names. I know, very posh. And I went, yeah, you're right, that works. And then the band launched into Go Your Own Way. It was a happy evening for all of us. It is the hardest thing, isn't it, choosing a child's name. How did you choose yours? I spoke to a guy yesterday. His name was Paul Smith. His last name wasn't Smith, but his first name was Paul, OK? I can't remember what his last name was. And when we phoned up is Paul Smith there? Which one do you want? The tennis-playing one. There were seven Paul Smiths in his family. Now, that shows a lack of imagination. So Paul Smith was called Paul Smith. His baby was called Paul Smith. His dad was called... His grand... It just went on and on. This was a tradition. What a ridiculous tradition. 08453 009956. If your kids are called Dwayne, or Tyler, or Tyrone, or Harrison, or Charmaine, or Chantel, why did you choose that name? Do you agree with Katie Hopkins that, yeah, it's a lower class name? It's a common name. It's not particularly classy, is it? Give us a call. 08453 009956. Stumbled there nearly, nearly. We'll talk to Katie Hopkins after this, the travel. Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM, filling in for Nick Conrad. He's off for a few weeks. Don't worry. It's not a permanent replacement. I'm just filling in while he's off getting married. And I suppose he's having the honeymoon now. And well, good luck to him. And he'll be back soon. So don't panic. But this morning, I'm asking, do you judge kids by their names? Katie Hopkins, formerly of The Apprentice TV show, has caused outrage by claiming she didn't like children with, quotes, lower class names. Names such as Charmaine, Chantel, Dwayne, Tyler. And that she'd stop her own kids from playing with them. Well, what do you think? Do you judge kids by their names? Does your child have a lower class name? Well, Katie Hopkins joins me on the line now. Morning, Katie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, Katie. So what names in particular don't you like?
Princess, Charmaine, Chardonnay, Angel, particularly Angel, yelled across the playground, putting the fag out with the foot at the same time, a little swivel of the ankle. Destiny, that's great, isn't it? Destiny. Tyler, you know, I suppose I could go on and on, but that's not what we need. But my point, rather, is that you can tell a lot about a child because a child is named by its parents. You can tell a lot about a child just by listening to its name.
But should we be judging the children, though? That seems a little unfair.
I'm not. That's exactly the point I just made to you. It's not judging the children, it's judging the parents, because you can tell a lot about their upbringing, their background, the type of parents they've got by their name, because typically parents that don't rock up to school on time with their kids, don't send their kids in with the right uniform, don't help them with their home learning, are the type of parents that call their kid Destiny.
Maybe they can't afford the right school uniform.
I think that's a little bit, you know, neither here nor there when you think about the grand scheme of the argument, which is that these kids are always the kids that have the iPhone, latest iPhone, I wouldn't even know what one was, the iPad, the PSP, the Wii. They've got all the gadgets. They've had TVs installed in their bedroom since they could barely open their blooming eyes. So don't give me they can't afford a school uniform. You know, there's this whole thing about, oh, I need to talk to your dad about your free school meals. Where is he? Oh, he's outside in the BMW, you know, Series 7, I don't know what. So
well, is that an apocryphal story, or is that based on something that happened to you?
Well, obviously none of my stuff can be based on anywhere or any person specifically, as you'd appreciate.
Well, then, but you're making rather wide, sweeping generalisations, aren't you,
Katie? Well, from a legal perspective, it can't be based on an individual. But the point is, there's a certain group of names that I associate with a certain group of parents and a certain type of upbringing. And frankly, I'd rather my children were playing with intelligent children that have intelligent sounding names, because their parents are likely to be intelligent.
So a Dwayne or a Tyler or a Chantel is thick?
In my experience, they tend to do less well at school. Read me out a list of a school register, and I could stream those kids pretty much by name, A stream, B stream. And what I find is that whilst the Twitterati are merrily calling me every name under the sun, which rather proves the point that these types of people are quite ignorant, I find on my private email account a lot of support from women, parents, teachers saying, do you know what, we all say it. We all say it. When my kid comes out and says, I've got a play date with Summer, my mum says, oh, where does Summer live? Now, what that mum's asking is not, oh, where do I have to go to? It's, does she come from the right part of town? Now, your listeners, of course, might not want to ring in support, and I respect that because the backlash is harsh. But there are a lot of women who I would question this morning, sitting in their kitchens, having their coffee, that do say this stuff to their friends. I don't want that angel coming round to play again. Angel in inverted commas.
Is it now? Is it because, Katie, you don't want Angel coming around because her and her family are common? Well, I'm trying to see what the problem is, but maybe they haven't got as much money as you. But I still can't quite see. Right, okay, it's not money. What is
it? It's about behaviours. When you have a certain type of child round to play, they don't usually eat the food you give them. They're asking to have the TV turned on. They want to be consistently entertained or have something or be given something. They can't just crack on and play like my children will or other more educated children will. They just know how to play. These children seem incapable of playing. They have to have a TV or a device or a gadget or something because that's what they've been brought up on. They're not the sort of children I want to have in my house. They're not the sort of children I enjoy having around my children. And so that's why I've said what I've said. A lot of people think it. Not many people will say it.
Isn't it sad, though, to be prejudging kids? Kids, you know, we have the
opportunity... Don't give me this. Don't give me all the innocence of a child.
We have the opportunity to shape their lives, and you're judging them in advance before you've even met them.
Let's go to any school playground in the morning. Obviously, we wouldn't want to do this because we wouldn't want to identify individuals, but come to a playground and listen to the mothers. Tyler, get back here or I'm going to kill you. That. Or, you know, Chardonnay, put that down now. That's disgusting. That. So don't give me, oh, the innocence of the child, because it's not that. The playground, the school, people treat school, because it's free, they have no respect for it at all. And I can stand outside any school gate on a Monday morning and 90 people will rock in late. You know, that's where we're going in this society. Those are the sorts of parents I don't like to have around my children, and those are the sorts of children I don't really want my children playing with. And I'm not going to apologise for it. I'm going to stand by what I've said.
What about names like Paris and Brooklyn, the Beckhams' children?
I'm not big on geographical place names, but I know where you're going with this, and you can score your point. My daughter's called India. It was after a family member, but I take the point, and you've scored it.
Well, no, and I have. Thank you for scoring the young girl yourself. It does seem it is slightly hypocritical, isn't it, to rail against place names being used to name your children when yours is called India, which is, I think, a place.
As I said, you scored your point.
But how do you justify that, Katie? How can you attack the Beckhams for calling their kids Brooklyn and Paris? And when...
Because for me, there's certain faces on there, like Chelsea. You know, it's because if I shut my eyes, I can see... Sorry, I'll get rid of that phone. If I shut my eyes, I can see the parent that stood behind that child. I can see them. You can picture them. If you say a name to me, I can picture the parent. And so I picture behind Chelsea, I can picture the mum. Behind Brooklyn, you know, you can picture the mum. I don't associate India with that, I suppose, because that was a family member.
India is such a glamorous place, isn't it?
I rather think it is. They're adventurous, wow. They're challenging as a country, they try really hard, and they don't have a welfare system, and consequently everybody works. So actually, I rather think India does better than the UK on a number of levels. Yes.
And you've been to the slums of India, I'm assuming?
Slums, I think, is a little bit harsh.
Places no, they are people, they are slums. I've been to the slums
live,
of India.
They work very hard. They do anything they can. Yep. They're the biggest recyclers.
But they're
anyway,
slums.
Is this a debate about India? Or
no, but I'm
just saying... You need to make your mind up.
No, well, your child's name is India, so yes, Katie, it is about children's names. Here's a few. Let me run a few past. We've had texted in. Anna's texted in her names. My children are called Paul, Tara and Anthony. What would you think of those?
Well, this is the interesting thing. For all the abuse I've been getting, and that's what everybody wants me to do. They'll Twitter me their name and say, well, how do you rate this? So I need somebody really to come up with a sort of a Hopkins Rate My Name app, and then I could give scores appropriately. But I tend to like nice, regal, historical names. So things like George, Henry, Elizabeth, Richard. Brilliant.
What about,
I love that.
What about Mitchell or Robson?
Ooh, no, very modern, tacky. Ooh, no, not at all, no.
Matthew and Heather?
Matthew, lovely, biblical, very nice. Heather, a little bit outdoorsy. I'm not big on the nature names. I'm not big on sky, river, wind, air, breeze, all of that. And I don't like Hunter either. Anything that's a little bit vicious, like Tyrone, Hunter, Storm. I'm not sure about those either.
Well, listen.
But, that, you know, those are my opinions.
No, of course not. Listen, 08453-00-9956 if you want to give a call. Stay there, Katie. We're joined on the line by journalist and mother, Kelly Rose Bradford. Morning, Kelly.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm looking forward to going out in the nice weather a bit. Kelly, what do you think about what Katie's saying? Has she got a point that we do judge kids by their names?
Well, do you know what? I don't think we should be judging children at all. I really, really don't. But to a certain extent, I do know what Katie means. I don't particularly like how she's delivering it and how she's instructing people as to what they should be calling their children. But I think, you know, secretly, perhaps, you know, we do have a few private thoughts when we hear some of the more out there names. But I think, you know, what it comes down to is we really, really should not be defining children in this way and making these judgments and going so far as to say that we wouldn't allow our children to play with these other kids. I just think that's absolutely outrageous. But as I say, you know, I think it is fair to say that we do privately sometimes have, you know, little jokes or raise a little smirk when we sort of like, you know, hear what the latest baby of an associate or a celebrity or something has been called. So, you know, I do kind of see where she's coming from, but, you know, I just think it's all gone a bit too far now, and we really shouldn't be being so, so judgmental, because, you know, these poor children, it's nothing to do with them what they're called. It's, you know, not down, they didn't name themselves. You know, if we're going to have a sort of like dig, you know, go directly, have it out with somebody's parent if you don't like what they've named their child. I just think it's, you know, a bit much preventing your own children from having friendships and accepting tea invitations and stuff like that. And my worry now for Katie's children would be is what are these other parents going to think? You know, are all these other parents really going to want their children to be playing with Katie's kids? And, you know, how's that going to lead? Has she not opened her own children up sort of like bullying with all of this?
Katie?
You know, we have a good group of friends that are my friends that understand where I'm coming from, and as you were just referring to there, that have the same views as I do. So my children are within a network that think pretty much the same way as I do, and I'm very happy with that. I'm happy for my children. My children are happy children, and they go to a state school, so they do integrate with other people. I'm fairly confident that my children are perfectly well and happy, but I still would stand exactly by my point that there's a number of behaviours you can associate with certain names, not having forms filled in on time, not having paid the monies they're supposed to, not having given their voluntary contribution to the school trip despite the fact they've got an iPhone in their pocket, that sort of thing. There's a number of behaviours that, you know, it really, over a period of time, I think people abuse the state school system, and I think this is a way of highlighting that these names are associated with people that don't respect school systems, and I think people need to take a look at themselves and what they prioritise in their children's lives.
Katie, this is sweeping generalisation. How would you cope?
You want me to be specific
how would you cope if the Beckhams moved in next door to you and Brooklyn invited one of your children round for tea? Would you say, no, can't possibly go round to Brooklyn's for tea because that's his name and therefore, you know, he's going to exhibit all these behaviours that I don't want my children witnessing or perhaps picking up on?
I've noticed over a period of time there's a correlation between certain names and certain behaviours. So, yes, I'm not that keen on names like Brooklyn.
So you would refuse a tea invitation from the Beckhams for your children to go over and have tea with Brooklyn?
I'm not really bothered about a tea invitation from the Beckhams. I wouldn't expect to receive one either.
But if you did,
we have to be generalising in some of our comments. Our tax system, for example, is generalised in order to be administratively efficient. So we have to make generalisations.
This isn't a conversation about our tax system. It's a conversation about children's names. And I'm just curious, as you do have this whole generalisation thing going on, if perhaps, you know, you did, if a perfectly nice, respectable family, as I'm sure the Beckhams are, invited your children over for tea, if you would refuse them, or if perhaps, you know, the Gwyneth Paltrow with Apple, possibly the most ridiculous name ever upon a child.
Now you have a view on children's names.
I
so
know,
we can't
I don't
judge
deny
a child,
it, though,
must
but
we?
I deny that I do have a child.
Well, hang on a second. I think some people would agree with Kelly that the name Apple is perhaps a little bit silly. But it's not necessary. Hang on a second. But it's not necessary. It's not.
Two of you or just one?
It's not necessary. I'm chairing this. It's not.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
I think you have a strong view.
I've not expressed my view.
Well, tell us your view.
I'm not going to.
Please do.
No, I'm being vaguely impartial at the moment. I think we could agree that... Katie, no need to be rude, is there? I've been very polite to you, despite your incongruities in the argument. But we could agree that Apple is perhaps a silly name, but we don't judge the child because of the name.
a minute ago, we weren't allowed to say that, you know, a child's name was silly. A minute ago, Kelly said, oh, it's not the child's fault. And then Kelly trots along to say, well, Apple, what a ridiculous name.
Because
now, come on,
ridiculous.
Which side of the argument are you on, mine or yours?
I didn't say, I'm on mine.
I wasn't asking you, I was asking Kelly.
No, and I've come on and I said from the start, and I said to the researchers very early on this morning, I agree to a certain extent that some names are absolutely ridiculous. You hear a name like Apple, and anybody of sound mind is going to think, well, you know, that is quite a silly name to give a child. But my point is, I don't judge the children because of the names their parents have given them. I might privately think that's an absolutely ridiculous name. But there are lots of perfectly what you would probably deem respectable names, which, you know, I don't particularly like, wouldn't want my child to have. But I don't think it's not, you know, it's not about judging this whole person and their sort of like their class, their wealth, where they come
Katie,
from and everything else.
And I think this is the point, isn't it? It's we can all agree that some people have got silly names, and that's a personal judgment. But it's the prejudging of the children, isn't it? You're basically mapping out the destiny of their lives from a really young age. And that just seems a little bit unfair.
Right. And I think it's perfectly fair. And I think actually Destiny was one of the names I picked. You see Destiny being dropped off at school with her mum, who's slightly overweight, stubbing out a fag with her ankle. And you think, yeah, Destiny is probably quite apt, isn't it? Because that child's destiny is pretty well mapped out. And I'm sorry, but I do believe that there is a correlation between the name you give your child, the type of behaviours you can expect. And as a teacher in a classroom that I've been hearing from, you can correlate those names with certain types of attitudes towards schools. I strongly believe that. I strongly think that's true. I strongly think there's lots of people out there that also agree with me, but I would advise them cautiously to proceed with caution if they're going to agree with me. But I really believe that to be true, and I certainly would rather my children were hanging out with intelligent children, with intelligent parents, than people called Tyler.
And there are some people that agree with you. I've got a text from George, who refused to come on the air, but he sent the text in. Katie is right. I wouldn't want my children being involved with a Chardonnay and the great unwashed who are her grubby parents. So there are people that agree with you. Kelly Rose Bradford, thank you very much for joining us. Helen's in Telford. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Helen, you've called 08453 009956. What do you want to say?
Can I just say that I think Katie's a complete snob.
I agree with you entirely.
Right. My children go to a private school. My children are called Jack, Annie, Lizzie and Sally. They have friends who have got very different names. They are all perfectly beautiful children. And I do not think, and I think you saying that someone from a state school who calls their child Chardonnay or Chelsea, you know, that doesn't matter. You are being a complete snob about a child's name. My name is Helen. I was going to be a Donna before I was called Helen. So I just think you are totally wrong in what you're saying. There are some children in the school that have got bizarre names. I wouldn't mind. They're lovely. I don't mind them coming round. I went to a state school. We had Bernies, we had Bobs, we had everything. But I don't know where you're coming from on this. That's saying, I'm going to talk my child Chelsea. I'm not going to invite them round because it's going to be... It's not down to the child. The child would be absolutely a perfect child. It's not about the name.
Helen, though.
It's about the personality.
Helen,
and it's about the upbringing.
Helen, does Katie have a point, though? Although we like to think we don't, we all make snap decisions about people the first time we see them, what they look like, and if we hear their name. We do make snap decisions. And do we make a decision or get an impression of a child when we hear they're called Chelsea or Dwayne?
No. I don't. I mean, you might go, ooh, but, you know, I don't make a snap decision. I look at the personality rather than the name. And that's what it's all about. It's not about the name. That child can go on. I mean, okay, Winston. Would you call your child Winston?
I love the name Winston.
Churchill.
That's a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, I appreciate Winston Churchill, but yeah, I love the name Winston. Or do you asking me, would I call it Churchill? Churchill, no, because of Churchill Insurance now. But do I like the name Winston? Yes, I do.
There is another point, isn't there, Helen? When was the last time we saw, a politician called Chantel or a successful businessman called Dwayne?
We've gone through a complete era now. So, yes, we will have politicians coming through. You know, I love the name Maggie. I called my car Maggie. You know, but we are going to go through a complete era where old names are now coming back into fashion, but new names, names don't mean anything. They really don't.
Helen, listen.
It's not a label.
Helen, thank you for that. In some ways, it is a label, isn't it, Katie? It's kind of the ultimate label, the name.
It is. I completely agree with you. For once, we are of one accord. It is the ultimate label you can give your baby. It, strangely enough, for most things in life that we label, we wait till we have them, and then we label them. But with babies, we decide before they come along, usually, what we're going to label them. And so that's a really strange thing, but it is the ultimate badge, the ultimate label. I think what you call your child has a massive, as do 85% of other people, according to Netmums, has a massive impact on where the future of your child is mapped out. And I totally agree with you. If you went around the country and picked out whatever your version of success is, for me, that would be in the political field or perhaps the field of business. I don't see a great deal of Chantal Chardonnay's blaze or whatever else. And so I really feel that what you call your child really matters. And for me, I judge a child partly on the name that I hear.
Wags in Wolverhampton. Wag, that's not your real name, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, good. I'm making judgments about that. Blooming heck. Wag, you're a teacher. What do you think about judging kids by their names?
I don't think you should, but unfortunately, being a teacher, obviously I come across a lot of kids, so I get a sort of, you know, a range of names, and you do tend to sort of associate certain names with certain types of behaviour. Obviously, I can't name names because it might sort of give away what school I'm at.
Yes, but, please don't.
No, I certainly won't. But you tend to sort of, you know, if you get two or three kids that are poorly behaved with the same name, you know, if you come across, you know, your next set list and it's got that name on it, you think, oh, God, not another one of those.
So are you saying, Wag, that in your school there is a direct correlation? I'm picking a name at random. Let's say Dwayne, OK? Are you saying there is a direct correlation with names like Dwayne and their behaviour?
No, there's not. It's just a judgment that you form. I'm not saying that, you know, just because I've had three kids with this name that have been poorly behaved, that the next one that comes along with that name will also be poorly behaved. But you tend to sort of associate names with types of behaviour. And once you actually start teaching the child, you know, it could be that your judgment's completely wrong, obviously. So I wouldn't say that I will sort of straight away if I hear that, you know, for instance, like you say, Dwayne, if I have a Dwayne in my class that I know for a fact that they will be badly behaved.
He makes a good point, doesn't he, Katie, that perhaps we do jump to these conclusions, lots of us, but we can be proved wrong.
Yes, I think that's absolutely correct, and I would agree with him entirely. Sometimes, you know, you're surprised, or you can be surprised, when along toddles a, you know, a, let's say, Brandon, and they turn out to be really lovely, and actually the parents are really lovely as well. So, of course, there are times when I step back from that and say, oh, it's broken the mould, my view has changed. But I think, on the whole, I found that the generalisation practice does work quite well. And in a really time-compressed society, where we don't have a lot of time to make decisions, you know, I need to make things, sort of, sort things out quickly, it's a very easy way for me to shortcut understanding about what I'm getting if I get that child because of their name. And I find it as a useful shortcut in the way I work.
It's not just names, is it, that you're not keen on? It's ginger babies.
Ginger babies. Like a normal baby, but so much harder to love.
Now, why do you say that?
Because it's the unspoken, but we say it. All mums say it. When I gave birth to my son, the first thing I asked was not whether he was breathing, whether he was okay, was, is he ginger? Because I'm not sure I use that voice, to be honest. But my husband has flecks of ginger. And it's one of those things, a ginger baby. I've never been keen on a ginger baby. I know many others that aren't either, especially a ginger baby boy. And I think it's all rather unfortunate. So yeah, that's my view.
There will be ginger people listening, take it, who've endured years of abuse and bullying because of this.
I understand that. I suppose I'm just highlighting that's just part of our society. We judge people by their names, and we judge people by other things, like their haircut. I'm judged by my nose. You know, for many years at school, I was called all the names that I'm now being called again on Twitter. It's like going back in time. It's like vintage. So Concord and all the rest of it, or Horseface. You know, we're judged by how we look, what people think of us, or what they view of us. It just so happens I don't like ginger babies.
But is that not just a bit the malicious and a bit nice? There was a story in the West Midlands earlier this year, of a 23-year-old lad, Alex Kossuth Phillips, who got the whatever beaten out of him because he was ginger. So you kind of tweeting stuff like, oh, ginger babies, like a normal baby, but so much harder to love. That's just kind of perpetuating that hatred towards ginger people.
Well, I mean, I think there's all sorts of views in society about different things, aren't there? My view is, as with many other people's views, ginger babies aren't as attractive as regular babies. I personally, that's just my view. I respect that other people don't have that view. I also see that a lot of people are sending me pictures of their ginger babies this morning, and I've asked them to stop because I need to eat my breakfast. But the thing is, that's just my view. I'm not that keen on ginger babies.
Pat's in Stratford. Pat, you've got a ginger son, have you?
No, grandson.
Ginger grandson, I do apologise.
He's gone lighter now. He's a young teenager, but he's absolutely handsome and gorgeous. Got lovely brown eyes. And he's super. What a stupid woman. I'm sorry. She has a right center. Honestly, you can't say that.
There we go. I'm
flabbergasted.
I don't want to interrupt you, but that would be entirely one of the things that's really getting to me is you can't say that. And I'm not wishing to pick on what you've said, but just in general. And I'm rather tired of this world we live in where you can't say that. This PC world where everything has to be nice, where everybody wants to be liked, where politicians follow voters now instead of the other way around. You know, why can't we say what we think? Why is it we're not allowed to speak our minds anymore? Why are some things wrong to say when actually, in general, they're probably just quite funny?
There's a good reason that there are some things we can't say, aren't there? You know, I'm thinking specifically of racist and homophobic things.
Don't go there, because I'm not going there. This wasn't about race.
Well, Katie, in fairness, you brought up the thing that we're not allowed to say certain things, and so that there are a good reason that we can't say some certain things.
I'm not discussing race. This isn't a race point. But
no,
you,
the
you
point is free
point.
Speech. The point is free speech. And you addressed the issue. You said that we should be allowed to say what we want. And would you not agree that there are some things it's good we can't say? It's good we can't come on the air and be blatantly homophobic or racist. That's a good thing, isn't it?
That is a good thing.
Well done, Katie. Pat, you did say an interesting thing, though, Pat. You did say, he's not ginger anymore.
He's gone much lighter and he's very, very good-looking young man.
Do you prefer him now he's not ginger?
No, good God, we absolutely adore him. He's got a fantastic personality.
Was there a little bit...
You're just glad that they're born healthy and well. She's talking rubbish.
Was there a little bit, Pat, of you or your family that went, oh, a ginger?
No, I had someone that I used to be friends with, and she, when I said we've got our grandson, we're absolutely delighted with, who we adore, she said, oh, my husband would have gone mad if I'd have had a ginger baby. So what are you supposed to do then? Leave it at the hospital or give it away or have it adopted? That is what a... Well, for an intelligent, supposedly woman, she's talking a load of rubbish.
Pat, thank you very, very much. Katie, can I ask you a question? Are you lined up for this year's Celebrity Big Brother by any chance?
No, I am not.
Are you sure you're not trying to be the new Samantha Brick?
Oh, no, but no, I can categorically say I am not lined up for this year's whatever you said.
Okay,
Big Brother, that was it.
Okay,
yeah, that.
You're definitely not. We're going to go we'll keep you for a couple more minutes if that's okay. We've got Dave now, who's in Atherstone. We're just going to get Dave lined up. I have noticed you are getting lots of abuse on Twitter. How do you deal with the abuse, Katie?
Yeah, and I think actually this is, on a more serious note for a moment, I do think this is one of the, I suppose, interesting things or strange things about the whole social media thing. So that clip of this morning, I don't know how many hits it's at. I can honestly...
Well, it's like 4 million or something, I think.
I think it might be nearer seven.
Rolled blimey.
As someone rang to say. But my rather point is, so I've just had a text in from a friend who's in Dubai, and he's lying by the swimming pool, the lucky so-and-so, on a sun lounger, and he just, on the sunbed next to him, a woman's talking about the clip on this morning and how what a silly cow I am. And you know, and he's just texting me saying, they're talking about you in Dubai. So it's a strange thing, a strange phenomenon that, you know, only a few years ago, really, in the relative scheme of life, we had to write a letter if we wanted to talk to someone or, you know, send them a fax. But now this stuff can go bonkers overnight. The Bulger killer can be released on parole. It doesn't really make a, you know, doesn't really make a murmur. But this sort of thing, someone talking about children's names, can go bonkers.
Oh, the abuse I got on Twitter last night because I said that Andy Murray was whinging because the roof went on. Katie, can you stick around for another few minutes?
I can stay for another 5 minutes.
Katie, give me 5 minutes. Stay there. We'll quickly have some travel, then we'll get back with Katie Hopkins. Well, I don't know why. That wasn't me sabotaging Adrian Goldberg. It's a cracking listen, and I believe bits have been popped up on Radio 4 this week as well. I think the tape may just have run out. Morning, this is Ian Lee filling in for Nick Conrad. We're asking this morning, do you judge kids by their names? Katie Hopkins, formerly of The Apprentice, has caused outrage by claiming she didn't like kids with lower-class names such as Charmaine, Dwayne and Tyler. And also, she's not keen on ginger babies as well. Katie, we've got you for another couple of minutes. Dave's in Atherstone. Morning, Dave. Dave, can you hear me?
Morning.
Dave, you're through to Katie Hopkins. What would you like to say?
Well, one sounds very upper class, you know.
And is that a problem?
Well, there's too many of them about. You know, you're talking to a commoner now, by the way, Mrs. Hello?
I'm listening to you.
Why don't you go in the jungle and lose your way?
But Dave, but you're surely kind of doing the same sort of thing that Katie is doing. You're judging her by the tone of her voice and the way she speaks. Is that fair?
Listen, these so-called upper classes are the biggest offenders, you know. I mean, it's the middle and upper classes that go to work and leave the kids in the morning to get themselves ready and go to school and come back while mum and dad are still at work. You know, ordinary people don't do that.
Well, I think ordinary people do that.
They don't.
Well, what do ordinary people do, Dave?
Most of them, they look after the kids.
But if middle classes and upper classes, I don't think it is just middle classes and upper classes, but let's go with that premise for a second. If they didn't do that and go to work, then nobody would go to work and the whole country would grind to a halt.
What I'm saying is they're preaching the gospel to everybody else. And yet, the things that they do, that common people, ordinary people, would never dream of doing. There was a documentary 2 years ago about the middle and upper classes. And this middle class family, mum and dad, went to work at in between 6:30, 6 in the morning, left the 10-year-old son at home on his own. He had to get himself ready, breakfast himself, and get himself ready for school. And then the kid came home from school, and he was on his own again till about 7 o'clock at night when mummy and daddy came over.
Yes, but I don't think... Dave, I'm not quite sure what this has to do with what we're talking about. It doesn't... That doesn't apply to all middle-class and upper-class families, or does it, in your opinion?
The majority of them. But, you see...
And you've got all of that from this one documentary?
No, listen. Yep. When a kid is left on his own...
Yes.
...or on her own, you know, there's no telling what they can get up to.
Yes.
You see, and that is one of the biggest problems in this society now. There's too many kids that have been let loose to run the roads, do their own thing, get involved with others.
Yes.
You know, and when I hear people like this woman...
Katie Hopkins.
Well, you know, I mean, she riles me because they think they're so superior to everyone else.
Katie, you must be aware that there is an air of superiority coming off what you're saying and emanating from you.
I think I would say I am a snob. I'm quite happy to be a snob. I'm quite happy that others like me are out there working so that some others can stay at home and look after their children, because it's just as well there are a few taxpayers out there. But what I'd say, going back to the point of this debate, which what I think we were trying to talk about before the gentleman came on, is that... You know, ultimately, people badge people both ways, don't they? I make views on children based on their names, and that gentleman, if I'll call him that, has made a view about me based on my voice, really, alone, and made massive generalisations about me. So what I do to others comes back up the chain, I will say up, my way. So, you know, I think it goes both ways, and I think that's why this point has become really interesting.
And Katie, listen, before I let you go, you're absolutely sure you're not going to be on Celebrity Big Brother this year?
I'm absolutely sure I haven't been asked to go on Celebrity Brother and Big Brother this year.
Okay. Katie Hopkins, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That was fun. That was fun, wasn't it? Katie Hopkins, very strong views. I don't know if you noticed. Doesn't like lower class names, her words, not mine, like Charmaine, Chantel, Dwayne, Tyler. Doesn't like ginger kids as well. The ginger thing is, I think, slightly more serious. I mentioned it there, about the 23-year-old Alex, who earlier this year got battered because he was ginger. A woman in Wolverhampton last year was given £150 by her local bank after a staff member joked about her ginger hair. Some people, I don't necessarily buy into this, but some people equate prejudice against ginger people with racism. I'm not quite sure I go that far. But there is a prejudice. Well, what do you think? Listen, it's your turn now. You've heard what Katie Hopkins had to say. What do you think? 08453-009956. Is she being elitist? Or is she saying, well, actually, what some of us think anyway? That it's impossible, isn't it, not to make a snap judgment on someone based on their name. You hear a name and you do think, oh, dear. And here's a confession. I'm going to make a confession about the ginger thing, OK? Don't hate me. My wife and I did joke about when we were having kids, oh, what if they're ginger? We did joke about it. Is that wrong? Of course we would have loved our kids, whatever, you know. But it did cross our minds. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not proud of it. I'm being honest. 08453-009956. Okay, I've been honest. Why don't you be honest on the ginger thing? If you had a ginger kid, when you found out they were ginger, did part of you go, oh, never mind? 08453-009956. You can text me as well. 81333. Start your text WM. Juliet's in Hall Green. Morning, Juliet.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I enjoyed that chat with Katie Hopkins.
Yeah, I wanted to say, my parents, they wasn't big fans of William Shakespeare. They just liked the name. But I do get, oh, where's Romeo?
See, that would the thing about when you're... I don't know if you've got kids, Juliet, but
no,
when,
I haven't.
When you name them, you have to come up with every possibility. What does it rhyme with? What does it sound like with the surname? Does it rhyme with a rude word? Is it connected to a famous fictional character? You have to do everything you can to ensure your child doesn't get bullied.
Yeah.
Because of their name. I bet you get... You must be dog-tired of the Romeo line.
I just get used to it. I just find it funny. So.
Yeah. Okay, Juliet. Well, listen, thank you very much for calling. Nice to talk to you. Oh, go on.
I've had friends, all different names. And
yeah, they would
be. My parents never said all about anything. You know, everybody just used to get on because I've got brothers as well. And we've never, ever judged anybody on the name, really.
Yeah, what about a Chantel? You'd judge a Chantel, wouldn't you?
No, not really. I wouldn't.
A Charmaine?
No, I think everyone's got their own personalities and everything.
You would hope so, Juliet. You would certainly hope that they've got their own personalities. Morris is in Bourneville. Morning, Morris.
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Do you agree with Katie Hopkins that we should judge people by their names?
Okay, look, I'll just make my point on this debate. First and foremost, snobbery is an English disease. A name as such really doesn't really mean very much or reveal very much about a child. To me, this lady is basically suggesting that poor, uneducated folk are low class and low life. This is rubbish. Okay, so where would you find low life? Go to the House of Commons. We've got about 600 people there, thereabouts, or just over. And 99% of these professional con artists would really impress this top-and-a-halfney snob. To make my point further, Albert Einstein was very disruptive in class. Many by children are. Field Marshal Montgomery was told at school he would never make a good military man. This lady is talking basically psychological gobbledygook. I hope I've made my point.
Well, you've made a point, Morris, but it does tend to be, I'm going to do a big generalisation here, everybody, so, you know, bear with me. It does tend to be the lower classes that do, and this is a huge generalisation, that do name their kids Chardonnay, for example. You wouldn't get a lord, or you wouldn't get a Princess Chardonnay, would you? Okay. Or you wouldn't get a Princess. Again, okay. Princess is another one.
Okay. Fair enough. You're absolutely right that some parents, because they really don't know any better, have never given it much thought. But we must take it further. I have known a child that come from what from a family situation, I've known actually many that this lady would describe as these, you know, sort of basically low-life, uneducated.
Yeah.
Yet I have known children and grandchildren come from such families who are now flying Concorde, flying jets across
They're
the Atlantic.
They're flying Concorde now?
So be very careful here. Never judge anybody. Be very, very careful. I'm a professional person, and I see clients, and I sometimes have a client come in the office, a young fellow. He's covered in tattoos, he's got spiky hair, he's got tattoos and spikes all over him. And if I met this guy at night, I would be frightened of him. And yet, talking to him as my client, he turns out to be one of the nicest, kindest, spiritual person you could ever meet. So this lady is talking shite.
Morris, steady, mind your language. Apologies
I'm
to anyone.
Sorry,
no, come on, that's a category B, for goodness sakes. Okay, apologies to anyone offended.
But
Morris, let me just get us out of trouble by doing a little apology. Apologies to anyone offended by that. We don't like bad language on here. We don't condone it. Morris, you said you work in a professional capacity. What do you do?
Well, many, many people listening to this phone will know what I do, and I don't want to say what I do, but I'm basically a counsellor.
Okay. Are you a medium?
No, I'm not a medium, no. I believe very much in this world, and I deal with this world. I'm most certainly not a medium, because if I was, I would come into the category that this lady is referring to.
Okay, I've got Morris. We're going to leave it there because I'm confused. I'm intrigued, but at 10:03, that's not a good time to be intrigued. With the news approaching us, that there was so much I could have asked then, but I am intrigued. I'll have a little gossip with the team afterwards. Ranjit in Albury. Morning, Ranjit.
Morning, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. We do judge people by their names, don't we? For example, I'm making judgments on you because you're called Ranjit. I'm assuming that you come from an Asian family.
Well, that's pretty obvious, that is.
Well, it is, isn't it? Yes. But it's a judgment. So Katie Hopkins has got a point, hasn't she?
She might have a point, yeah. But, you know, on a lighter note, I would wish on her, right, that her child called India would meet somebody called Pakistan and get married. You know what I mean? Yeah? And the thing is...
And what would that achieve?
Well, you know, like how you got rivalry with the England
yes.
and the Germans, yeah?
Yes.
India and Pakistan have got rivalry.
Boy,
as
boy,
well.
Haven't they just?
Yeah.
And they've got
yeah.
nuclear powers.
Yeah, yeah. No, not on the political side. No. I'm on the lighter note.
On the lighter side of inter-country wars, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, how would she feel about that? You know what I mean? And obviously, she likes the sound of her own voice because you had feedback. She was obviously listening to the radio. And I think she's one of these has-beens, yeah, that's trying to just get publicity. She can't talk down to people. People have hearts. So if somebody's called Chelsea or Bianca or some, you know, a name like that, you can't judge them. You know, you know, like Winston is a name that's associated with Afro-Caribbeans. But you had Winston Churchill, he was
well,
a white
but that's why it is associated with Afro-Caribbeans, isn't it? Because of the respect that a lot of the parents had for Winston Churchill. That's why you do find lots of black people called Winston.
Yeah, my name's Ranji. I'm named after a Sikh king that was, you know, while he was a king, there was no hangings done, no nothing, no
besides
poverty. So people name things. I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to name people after, like, places like Chelsea. You know,
You mentioned Bianca, and if there are kids called Bianca in the last 15, 20 years, it's probably named after the Patsy Palmer character in EastEnders. So if it does say something about someone if they're prepared to name their child after a common character on EastEnders.
Yeah, OK, you know the daytime TV,
You've got 10 seconds, go on.
Yeah, daytime TV, you get people like that on there. So I'm judgmental on people that appear on daytime TV.
Yeah.
Right? But I wouldn't, not just by name.
OK, Ranjit, listen, we have to end it there because we're running out of time. What a fantastic discussion. You can call in about that as well, still. 08453-009956. We're talking about Margaret Thatcher Day after 10 o'clock. Of course we should have a Margaret Thatcher Day, shouldn't we?
BBC WM
95.6.
Teachers, you don't like it, get out of it.
Pensioners who can't do anything to boost her income.
Abduction? As far as I'm aware, she actually went willingly.
Ian Lee, Saturdays.
9 till 12. BBC WM
95.6.
Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. I'm filling in for Nick Conrad. It's only a temporary measure, so don't panic. He's getting married, and I'm sure he's having a fantastic time. He'll be back shortly. We're carrying on in this hour the discussion about names. Very feisty calls we're getting in now about Katie Hopkins and judging children by their names. If you want to give me a call on that, 08453 009956. She also made some comments about ginger people. Ginger babies, just like normal babies, but so much harder to love. And I've been honest with you. We did question, in a kind of joking way, when we were expecting our two boys, what if they're ginger? It was a joke. Be honest, if you've got ginger kids, when they popped out, popped, yeah, so they made that noise. When they came out, did you, and they were ginger, did you think, oh, well, never mind? Or am I being harsh? 08453 009956. In this hour of the show, there have been calls to get a Margaret Thatcher Day. I think it's a cracking idea. A bank holiday, rename it Margaret Thatcher Day. What do you think?
Call 08453 009956.
Ian Lee on BBC WM
95.6.
I think Margaret Thatcher Day is a cracking idea. Whatever your politics, it makes sense. Those who love her would enjoy the fact it's called Margaret Thatcher Day. Those who hate her would be angry it's called Margaret Thatcher Day, so they'd have something to moan about. Makes bank holidays so much more fun. Bank holidays are the dullest days ever, aren't they? There's nothing on TV. Why do they show different programmes on a bank holiday? I don't get what that's about. But Margaret Thatcher Day, last bank holiday in August, makes perfect sense. 08453 009956. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but you can start calling in or texting as well if you want. 81333, start your text, WM. But on the subject of, well, what Katie was talking about, Katie Hopkins, Polly's in Lichfield. Good morning, Polly.
Hello, Ian.
Morning, Polly. What did you think about what Katie was saying?
Oh, what an arrogant bore she is. She only does all this for publicity, you know. She thinks up something that people are going to argue about. And I saw her on This Morning, and she's such an arrogant bitch.
I have to... Again, can we just be steady, careful with the language? You're all very potty-mouthed this morning.
Oh, God.
No, Polly, you listen, that's a Category C, but still, I have to apologise. The second strike of bad language. Let's have no more, otherwise Nick will be coming back from his honeymoon early. Or they'll get Adrian Goldberg to fill in on a Saturday, and I'll be out. So just everyone... calm down. Now, I have to stress, lots of people have accused us of lining her pockets this morning. Katie wasn't paid for that interview this morning. She was probably paid when she went on This Morning, and I would imagine she would have been paid about 300 quid to be on This Morning. She wasn't paid for this. But do you not think, Polly, she's kind of got a point that we do make judgments about people and their names, and if someone is called Chelsea or Brandon or Tyler, we do think a little bit less of them, don't we?
No, you just have a laugh about it. But I want to say about people with ginger hair.
Go on.
She's lucky my daughter's not here.
Why? Would she swear about her as well?
But I'll tell you, I've got the most handsome grandson you could wish to meet.
Yep.
And he never has any... He's 17, he's going to university, and he's got no problems with girls. So the girls love it. And I would love to dye my hair the same colour as what he's got.
Why? Out of a sign of solidarity?
No, because I love it.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Did he appreciate it was beautiful as a youngster? Because that's when the bullying takes place, isn't it, when they're kids?
No, he's never bothered.
Yeah.
He's always had loads of friends, and I don't think anybody has ever... He might have had the odd comment. I mean, we sometimes say... cheeky things to him.
What, things about the milkman and stuff? There's always the line about, did your mum get on well with the milkman?
Yeah, because my daughter's blonde.
Right.
But, you know...
So even you as a grandmother were questioning his parentage?
No, it was only as a joke.
But those jokes, people would say that those jokes, that it is a kind of prejudice that isn't fair.
No. It wasn't said nasty.
Okay, Polly.
It's something that people do say,
but
I was thrilled to bits when I saw him. He's absolutely beautiful.
I'm sure he is, Polly, and there's no bias there at all, is there? Dot is in Selly Oak. Morning, Dot.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Welcome to WM family.
Well, I don't know how long I'll be here. We've had two swear bombs dropped. Please don't swear, will you, Dot?
No, it's in my head about that woman.
Right, Katie Hopkins.
I can't say her name.
Wow, you're that angry.
And she, yes, I'm very angry.
What did she say that got you so angry, Dot?
About not being able to love a red-headed child.
Yeah.
Or you find it hard.
Yeah.
We've got a stack of ginger-headed kids in our family.
Oh, dear.
I call them my packet of ginger biscuits.
Oh, dear.
I love them. They're so gorgeous.
Ginger nuts?
Yeah, my packet of ginger nuts.
Yeah.
I love them. Now, listen, famous people that are ready.
I've made myself laugh. I do apologise. Yes.
Go on.
No, I've made myself giggle. I do apologise.
No, that's
being,
all right.
I'm being silly. But there is a prejudice. In the playground, kids are nasty, aren't they, Doc? And they sniff out weaknesses, they sniff out differences, they sniff out anything that's
but
not in the norm.
Where do they get that from?
Well, that's...
aren't they taught it doesn't matter about hair colour, it doesn't matter about skin colour?
They're taught that as they get older, but it's genetic, isn't it, to look for differences?
I always say we come in with nothing, we go out with nothing, all of us. There's no... body any better than anybody else on the way in and on the way out. It's what you do in between that matters.
Yeah.
Now, Rita Hayworth was a redhead.
Yeah.
Rhonda Fleming. Deborah Kerr.
Wow, you really are old, aren't you, Dot?
Of course.
I've got one of those names. Of the rest I'm going, yeah.
There's Damien Lewis.
Yeah.
There's Mick Hucknall.
You've just lost your argument with Mick Hucknall.
Why?
He's terrible, isn't he, Hucknall?
But he's made a living and he's a redhead and people buy his records.
So redheads can make a living?
Of course they can. I've got the most gorgeous granddaughter.
Yeah.
She's up, and I'm Elizabeth I.
Can we?
Come on.
I suspect the whole hour and 50 minutes I've got left will be grandmother's phoning up saying, I've got a beautiful granddaughter. I'm sure she's absolutely gorgeous, Dot. But
I don't understand it.
Oh, you've gone all ponderous.
I don't understand it. I really don't understand why people have to say you'd be hard to love because you've got red hair.
Was there not? And I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be honest.
Yes, go ahead.
When these ginger kids came out, was there not a bit of you or a bit of their parents that went,
no.
Oh dear.
No.
That's a shame.
No.
Oh, dear.
We have to love the children.
Yes.
Children are the future. I don't care what colour hair.
You're quoting Whitney Houston at me now.
What? She'd find it hard to love a red-headed child. Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
Right. Now, I don't know what colour her hair is. I don't care.
Blonde.
But I'd find it very hard to love a person that has got those ideas in her head.
Dot, thank you very much. 08 453 00 9956. You can text 81333 WM. Jackie's in Wolverhampton. Morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to going out in the gorgeous weather later on today.
Oh, well, till you get there, I'll enjoy it for you.
Thanks very much, I think. Now, what did you think about what Katie Hopkins had to say? She said made sense, didn't it?
Well, I'm just not a very good fan of her, so I'm not going to speak about her. But what I did call up about was that when you said that you were in fear of having a red-haired child...
Well, fear is a slightly strong word. We did question it, yes.
Yeah, well, I was the same when I was at school. I mean, I'm kind of mature, and when I was younger, I used to think to myself, being black, I used to think, I don't want kids with red hair. Being black and red hair... My days, it was just not on. And I always thought, look, I never wanted that to happen.
I'm going to ask a question that might sound completely ignorant, but I have to ask it.
Yeah.
Are there ginger black people?
Yeah.
Are there?
Yes, of course there is.
Where?
Yes, there is. I live on a council estate, and I went to a council school, right? And we had a few black children that had ginger hair.
How naive of me to think that perhaps there would have been. Yes. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Ginger and red.
Okay.
You do get black people who do have.
But the odds, listen, the odds are in your favour, Jackie. I would suggest it's even less likely for a black mother to have a kid with ginger hair than it is for a white mum to have a kid with ginger hair.
It is quite popular, I can assure you. It does happen.
Oh, okay.
It's just that you obviously don't see it, but it does happen.
I've not seen it.
You have albinos.
Yeah.
Who have, like, blonde hair, white hair, ginger hair.
Yeah.
It happens. And I always dreaded, when I was younger, going to school. No. I won't call his name, but this boy was at our school, and he had red hair, and he was black, and I used to think, Jesus, no way.
Okay.
it was horrible then. I mean, that was young. I mean, now it doesn't really matter.
But it's honest of you to say that, Jackie. It's very honest of you to say that, because, I'm being honest by saying, I wasn't afraid of having one. Of course, if we had a ginger child, I would love it and adore it, and it would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, when you've got lemons, you make lemonade. But, no, hang on, that's not right. But... There was a part of me and my wife that thought, oh, dear, you know, what if? The fact we were even asking that question means that there is a slight prejudice against ginger people that's inherent within society.
Yes, there is. There definitely is.
Some people...
There is a definite... And a lot of people don't address it.
No.
It's just like people who are racist. I put it all on the same level.
Is it?
I don't think it's right. I do.
Now, because I was mentioning that some people do equate gingerism with racism. And I think one of the people that did that was Mick Hucknall a few years ago. I think he came out and said that racism and gingerism were the same thing. As a black woman, Jackie, do you think that prejudice towards ginger people is the same as racism?
I put it on the same level because going to school, we were quite cruel, you know, and children do the same thing. When they say the N-word or they call you a BB, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
When they say things like that, it's still hurtful. It isn't less painful. And it still hurts you inside.
Jackie,
you still cry.
Jackie, thank you very much. Thank you for being the first caller to censor yourself. We've had a couple of naughty words this morning. I hope nobody's been... I'm sure you haven't been offended. I mean, you're all mature enough to get on with it. But I know sometimes we have young ears listening. So, again, apologies if anybody was. 08 453 00 9956. An MP is calling for a Margaret Thatcher Day. It's a cracking idea, isn't it? Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, filling in for Nick Conrad, and I'm having a blooming good time. I hope you are as well. Feisty this morning. The things I'm learning about Birmingham, the Black Country, is you are feisty, and you do like a good argument. Well, so do I. So you've come to the right place. Now, here's something. Here's something I don't think we can argue about, because this surely makes perfect sense. An attempt to rebrand the August bank holiday as Margaret Thatcher Day has failed in the Commons. The Conservative MP, Peter Bone, sought to introduce a bill in memory of the former Prime Minister who died 3 months ago.
She was a great stateswoman, a true patriot, and an inspiration to the masses. She did not only do our country a great service, but she gave Britain back its pride and returned it to prosperity after some of the darkest economic days in recent decades.
Peter Bone there being very passionate. The measure ran out of parliamentary time just as he made his case. It will be given a second reading in November. What do you think? The last bank holiday in August, you call it Margaret Thatcher Day. It'll be good. Happy Margaret Thatcher Day. Hey, did you get the Margaret Thatcher Day cake? Oh, no, I forgot it. I wonder if they've got one down in Lidl. Here's your Margaret Thatcher Day card. It'll be fun. It would be fun. Bank holidays are really dull. So to give a bank holiday a theme would be lots of fun. Those who love Margaret Thatcher would be, well, they'd be in heaven, wouldn't they? They'd be full of it. Those who hated Margaret Thatcher, they'd be angry. So they'd enjoy being angry. And whatever you think about her, I believe she divided people quite a bit. I don't know. Whatever you think about her, she is a significant person when it comes to British politics. You can't deny that. Love her or hate her, she is incredibly significant. 08 453 00 9956. Should we have a Margaret Thatcher Day? If you wouldn't give it to Margaret Thatcher, who would you give a bank holiday to? 08 453 00 9956. Or you can text 81333. Start your text WM. I'm joined on the line now by Sir Gerald Howarth, who was Margaret Thatcher's former private secretary. Good morning, Sir Gerald. What do you think about this? A Margaret Thatcher Day?
Well, good morning, Ian. I think it's a marvellous idea. And I think that West Midlanders, who are, as you rightly say, feisty people, whom I had the privilege of representing in Parliament for 9 years, I think many of them will take the view that she was indeed the salvation of the nation. She transformed our country. She rescued our country from socialism. And I think there is a case for commemorating her achievements. We do have significant days in the calendar. We have VE Day, for example, to remember the end of the Second World War, the surrender of Germany in May 1945. So many people still celebrate Trafalgar Day, which of course records the magnificent achievement of Admiral Nelson on the 21st of October 1805 over the French. So, you know, I take this view, Ian. I mean, your listeners out there, banks very popular, bank holiday, Perhaps I think a Margaret Thatcher day instead of a bank holiday and all those sorts of bankers and their bonuses. Margaret Thatcher Day might go down rather well.
Do you know what? That's an excellent point there you've made, Sir Gerald, about lots of people not particularly fans of bankers, and yet we're happy to, on a Monday, watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang because it's a bank holiday.
Quite. And, I had the privilege of representing Cannock, and if I can just, be slightly serious on a Saturday morning for a moment, just before the Lions go out and roar, I was elected in Cannock in 1983, Cannock and Burntwood, and we were the 50th most marginal Labour seat, and Peter Snow had a dartboard, and when Cannock and Burntwood was taken by us from Labour, from Gwilym Roberts in 1983, it was the bullseye on the dartboard which lit up blue. And, I've just been back in Cannock to mark the 30th anniversary of my election. I was very, very humbled indeed that a mining constituency, a coal mining constituency, who'd had the benefit of seeing Margaret Thatcher stand up to trade union militancy, which was destroying Britain, who'd given people a chance to own their own homes, that they put their cross by my name. And I shall never forget the people of Cannock and Burntwood, feisty West Midlanders, tough folk, and they're the backbone of Britain. And so I was really, really privileged. But it was they who decided that Margaret Thatcher was the salvation of Britain. She just won the Falklands campaign.
See, Gerald,
Britain was reinstated as a major player on the world stage after years of decline. So, fantastic.
There are people who share your view that Margaret Thatcher was the saviour. There also are people who have the complete opposite view, who think that Margaret Thatcher destroyed this country as well.
Yes, I know. I'm not sure if you've got Dave Nellis coming on, my old friend Dave Nellis, but,
Dave Nellis from the Socialist Party. Dave, if you're listening, pick up your phone. It's the thing. I think Dave may have overslept this morning, Sir Gerald.
Oh, well, that's a great shame. Perhaps he's gone off to see Len McCluskey to plot Unite's takeover of the Labour Party. I wouldn't know. There are people who find Margaret Thatcher difficult, and there are people who lost their jobs. But for all those people who lost their jobs, there are many people who, for example, were liberated from the constraints of employed work, and who were forced to go and do other things. And they created a whole raft of new businesses which helped to build prosperity in the kingdom from 1983 onwards, after we came through the difficulty of having to pay off the debt which had been run up by the previous Labour government. As they say in Walthamstow, plus ça change, c'est la même chose. So we've had to do the same, except on an even more dramatic scale, since 2010. But just let me put this point to you, Ian,
yes,
and to those who say she was divisive.
Yeah.
In 1979, do you know how many days were lost in strike action?
No.
Right, well, I'll tell you. 29 million
yes.
days were lost. Red Robbo, everybody in the Midlands remembers Red Robbo.
And you're going to say that she reduced the number of strike days, but that's because she killed the unions. Listen, we're
hold on, Ian.
Very quickly, because we're not here to debate Thatcher's policies, but go on.
When she left office, 2 million days a year lost. Last year, a quarter of a million. You look around the country, industrial relations in Britain have never been so harmonious. So I rest my case.
Well,
she was not divisive. She was a salvation.
Okay, there are some people who would debate that. Finally, you knew Margaret Thatcher. Was she a fan of bank holidays? Surely she wanted people to keep on working. She was a fan of working, wasn't she?
She was. I mean, she was completely driven by the work ethic, as everybody, I think, knows. She used to operate on about 4 hours sleep a night. And her capacity for sheer grafting hard work, as any of us who knew her will know. I mean, she'd go through things like the Maastricht Treaty, she'd underline words, she'd put comments in the margin. I mean, she was a real, serious, hard-working woman. And I was just trying to look up, actually, how many bank holidays we have a year. Of course, you have to remember, every bank holiday, it means that's unproductive work for our industry and commerce. So I certainly wouldn't be in favour of creating another bank holiday. But who knows? I mean, I'd be interested in what your listeners think, Ian. But I certainly think it's an idea, because what it would do, Ian, it would enable people to remember, as indeed her death has done, it would enable people to remember the dramatic changes that were wrought in our country.
Well, Sir Gerald, listen, let's thank you very much for coming on. That's Sir Gerald Howarth, who is was Margaret Thatcher's former private secretary. Well, let's put it out there. 08453 009956. She was the saviour of the country, according to Sir Gerald. There are lots of people listening to this now, maybe you do, who totally agree with that. Or maybe you completely disagree with it. Either way, this is the thing, and my politics are irrelevant here. Whatever you think about her, having an existing bank holiday, the last bank holiday in August, as Margaret Thatcher Day, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense. Fans of Margaret Thatcher could celebrate and enjoy remembering her achievements. Those who are against Margaret Thatcher could make their voices heard on that day. 08453 009956. Even if you disagree, who would you like to give the bank holiday to? Let's go to Terry's in Wolverhampton. Morning, Terry.
Morning.
Morning. Margaret Thatcher Day makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Not at all.
Sorry?
Not at all.
I don't know if you thought this through properly, Terry. Go on.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Go on.
I mean, she made too many enemies for that. Really and truly, it should be Churchill Day. I mean, Churchill
had a few enemies, didn't he? Namely the Germans.
Yeah, but when we needed him, when the war was there, some of the things he did when he was going over to America and he'd had a stroke. But yep. he really put his
He was an alcoholic, wasn't he, Terry?
Well, I don't know.
I believe, but
he don't make me a bad guy.
No, it doesn't make him a bad guy, but just there might be some people...
No, I mean, if you're an alcoholic, you can be a super guy, but like drinking too much.
No, alcoholism is a terrible disease, and I'm not making a judgment on him, but there might be some people who say, do we really want to give a bank holiday in memory of an alcoholic?
No, we don't remember him
Paul
as an alcoholic.
Day.
That was his own private life. We remember him as he was as a Prime Minister, and as a Prime Minister, he was great. He don't worry whether he got bad breath, it doesn't matter. It's what he did that counts.
Terry, listen, thank you very much. I'm going to go to Malcolm in Bourneville. Malcolm.
Morning.
Morning, Malcolm. What do you reckon? Margaret Thatcher Day, bank holiday, last bank holiday in August, nice summer's day, you have a Margaret Thatcher memorial barbecue, you get the Margaret Thatcher paddling pool out for the kids.
We don't want all that. It depends what side of the fence you stand, whether you're poor working class or a poor pensioner or anything like that. I mean, if you're rich and got plenty of money, you probably do support her and what she does and what she and how she clobbered all the industry and all the workers. But to me, having a Margaret Thatcher Day with this government that we got in now, it's Margaret Thatcher Day every day, isn't it? They got the same policies as what she has. So we never forget about it.
But bank holidays, Malcolm, they're very, very dull, aren't they? They always... Yeah. I have no idea why they changed...
They want a bank holiday. I mean, you can have a Margaret Thatcher just a normal day, but it doesn't have to be a bank holiday. It can just be a normal day.
But
like
this would... Listen, but this would be an existing bank holiday, the last one in August, and it would just add a sense of purpose to what is otherwise a boring, pointless day, wouldn't it?
It is pointless, that's what I'm saying, because we've got Cameron and company spouting all the same things, so we've more or less got her in our ear every day of the every day.
Malcolm, if you didn't give the bank holiday to Margaret Thatcher, who would you give it to?
Well, I don't really want another bank holiday, tell you the truth. We got enough as it is. I mean,
it's an existing bank holiday, Malcolm. It's an existing bank holiday. We're not creating an extra one.
Uh-huh.
We're going to give this to someone, this already pre-existing, it's in the diary, bank holiday. Who do you think deserves one named up? Me? Could I have a bank holiday?
Yes, we'll give it after you. I don't mind, or, you know, something like that.
Malcolm, stay on the line, because let's speak to Rob in Northfield. Morning, Rob.
Hello.
Rob, you think a Thatcher Day would be good?
I think a Thatcher Day would be good, but... I don't think call it Thatcher Day, call it Great British People's Day.
Oh.
And then you can have everybody from inventors, scientists, political leaders, you know, fantastic sports people, call it that. But if it was to be great, if it was to be Thatcher Day, I bet all these people that are moaning and jumping on the bandwagon and calling her this and that, I bet they'd still have the day off.
Malcolm, would you still take the day off?
Well, I'm a pensioner, so I've got time off all the time. And, of course, being a pensioner, we don't have much money to spend because of the likes of Margaret Thatcher and the Cameron government.
I've got the solution. Malcolm, you know, what we do, on Margaret Thatcher Day, you go out and work, Malcolm.
Go out and work?
You go out and work.
I'm a pensioner.
Well, exactly.
I've got to work.
But in memory of Margaret Thatcher, who worked until she was very, very old, maybe you should go out and work on Margaret Thatcher Day as a sign of respect to her.
Oh, you must be joking. I'd go out if I thought people would have me back at work with all my ailments and that, I probably would do. But we've got to get the kids back out working, haven't we? Not so much the oldest old ones all the time. This is the trouble. This is one of her legacies as well, you see.
Rob, what do you think why people are moaning about the possibility of a Margaret Thatcher Day? Can you see their point that there are people who don't like her?
Well, that's it. You know, they don't like her. That's fair enough. There's people that don't like Christmas. They're still having off, don't they?
Do you have it off at Christmas, Malcolm?
Well, I'm a pensioner. I've got it off all the time.
So you have it off all the time?
Well, that's it, see. Okay. I mean, if I was at work and they said, oh, we've got to have the it's Christmas, or we've got to have it's Margaret Thatcher Day, it is a bank holiday.
Yep.
They would tell you to stop at home anyway.
Okay, Malcolm, so, Rob, thank you very much for that. Two very different views. We're glad to. Anyway, we've got Dave Nellist on now, who is a member of the Socialist Party, former Labour MP. Morning, Dave.
Morning.
You picked up your phone at last.
Hey, hang about.
Whoa.
There's a story behind that, which we won't go into on air.
Oh, is everything all right?
No, everything's fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. We'll go into it off air, though. I'm keen to find out. Now, Dave, Margaret Thatcher Day makes wonderful sense, doesn't it?
Listen, I'm with Malcolm. I think, Malcolm, if you've been ringing me up to say, you know, shall we have an extra bank holiday? Because contrary to what one or two of your callers have said, we've got the least number of public holidays, almost, of any country in Europe. There's some that have got twice as many as we have.
So those lazy continentals, yes.
Extra one, I might have had a debate about who, but replacing one now with somebody who was the most divisive Prime Minister of the 20th century. Remember when she died in April, over 60% of the population didn't want a penny spending on a public funeral, so the idea of a bank holiday or anything like that, I think, would be entirely wrong.
But there are some people, and we spoke to Sir Gerald Howarth earlier on in the show, who think that she saved this country, Dave.
Yeah, I know, well, Peter Bone, who tried to bring this private member's bill in yesterday and got 2 minutes to left at the end of the Europe debate, and Gerald Howarth, one or two others I remember from the 1980s, very unkindly called the Tory Taliban because they're so right-wing and fundamentalist, do not represent places like Coventry. Listen, we lost tens of thousands of jobs in the 1980s because of Mrs. Thatcher's policies, with the pits going and factories being exported and so on. We've got a legacy now, 20 years later, of a changed city. When I came here 43 years ago, the richest working class city in the country was Coventry because of the strength of our manufacturing industry. She decided that finance was the future for Britain, not manufacturing, and closed down factories and exported jobs and factories. And the idea of celebrating that destruction of manufacturing industry would cause riots in this country.
But the thing is, Dave, right, so you've got the Tory right, or the people that celebrate Margaret Thatcher, they'd enjoy it because it would give meaning and purpose to a bank holiday. And as we all know, bank holidays are such boring days, so they'd be happy. But then your lot, the socialists, the people that didn't like Margaret Thatcher, you'd be a little bit angry, so it would give some purpose to your day. We all know that you enjoy being angry.
And I manage it 365 days of the year, so I don't need a special day to be angry against Mrs. Thatcher. Like Malcolm on before, there's literally millions of people in this country who hold her in our memories. We don't need a special day for Mrs. Thatcher. She's not going missing from the history books. But how we remember her, particularly those who were the victims of Mrs. Thatcher, I think it would be an absolute insult to the mining communities, to the areas where we used to have decent factory jobs and lots of apprenticeships for our young people, to be celebrating that legacy. There might be some rich people like Gerald Howarth who think it's a good idea to celebrate it. I don't.
You don't fancy, you know, tossing another shrimp on the Margaret Thatcher barbecue?
I might do that this afternoon because it sounds like a good idea, but I don't need a special day to do it. I could do any day of the week, that, couldn't I?
Dave, thank you very much indeed. It's Dave Nellist, a member of the Socialist Party, former Labour MP. I kind of guessed he'd be a little bit against it. I sort of assumed that was going to be the case. whatever you think about her, one of the most important prime ministers we've had, well, last century, really. Her and Churchill, probably the two most important prime ministers the last 100 years or so. It is important that we remember her, and is naming a bank holiday after her the best way of doing it? I suggest it probably is. 08453-009956, text 81333-WM. Let me know. And if it wouldn't be Margaret Thatcher, who would you give it to? In a little bit, by the way, just flag this up now, in a bit we'll be talking about Andy Murray. And his, did you see him whinging like a baby last night? Oh, no, don't put the roof on. Oh, Mum, they're going to put the roof on. Whinging like a baby. We'll talk about him in a minute. Just have him in the back of your mind. On the subject of Thatcher, Ivan's in Willenhall. Morning, Ivan.
Good morning.
Ivan, what do you think? Margaret Thatcher Day.
We have it every February the 30th.
Oh, hang on a minute. I see what you've done there. We don't have a February the 30th.
Yeah, well, we've no longer got that person who they'd like to name the day after.
Well, Ivan, listen, why are you so anti-Thatcher?
Well, the blokes just said it all, it was on before. She destroyed more industry than Hitler ever dreamt of doing.
What? Okay, that's an interesting take on it. Do you not think that she saved Britain from itself?
No.
We're more harmonious with the unions, according to Sir Gerald Howarth.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to go too deeply into it.
No.
I don't want to get banned off the radio for using bad language.
No, well,
which
please
tends
don't.
To happen when...
well, please don't. How that. About... When's your birthday, Ivan? What date's your birthday?
I will be 70 a week tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday you.
Bastille Day in France.
Well, how... Well, this is wonderful. Then why don't we get your birthday, Bastille Day, Margaret Thatcher Day? That's three things to celebrate.
Yes, sort of winding me up now, aren't you?
No, not at all. It's a genuine thing. You'd have a Margaret Thatcher cake. Someone would send you a happy Margaret Thatcher Day card. Yeah. You could have bunting up.
I'm on a strict diet, so I wouldn't eat the cake anyway.
Okay, but you'd like a Margaret Thatcher card, wouldn't you?
You're not winding me up.
No, this is genuine. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Have a nice day, because that's what I'm going to do.
Ivan in Willenhall, I believe the youngsters would say I was owned then. Ivan owned me, but they'd spell it with a P. I still don't quite know why. Sean is in Edgbaston. Morning, Sean.
Hello, Ian.
Sean.
I promise not to swear. I'll save all my swearing for the football season.
Yeah, please don't swear.
No, I don't use
Everyone's sounding very dour and miserable this morning. Is it the sun that's making you all a bit lethargic?
No. I never swear on anything like this. I'll save it all for the football season.
Okay, good lad. Thank you for that.
No, I totally agree with Dave Nellis, I like Dave Nellis, I always liked him as a politician, and it's a pity we didn't have more of him at the moment, but we haven't. Anyway, I'd be so insulted if it was called Margaret Thatcher Day.
Why would you be insulted, Sean? Why is it an insult?
Well, for the same reasons as Dave Nellis said, the industry she destroyed, but you don't notice it down here. There was a documentary on the television the other day about a couple of weeks back about the people living in Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
And they've got nothing. They had mines. They were rich. They had, the workers weren't rich, but, they had jobs to go to every day. Now the kids are hanging around.
Here we go. Personal tale from me, okay? I'm 40 years old.
Yeah.
I was 6 or 7 when Thatcher got voted in, right?
Yeah.
We lived on a grotty council estate, and it was, I'm not saying all council estates are grotty, but this was grotty. A grotty, horrible council estate in Slough, just outside of London. It's a grim place. This estate in particular was absolutely hideous. Thanks to Margaret Thatcher, my mum and dad could buy their council house. A few years later, we sold that, we moved to a really nice area. Suddenly, we're in the housing chain. Now, my politics to one side, and I'm deliberately not stating what my politics are because I don't think it's relevant, but thanks to Margaret Thatcher, we were able to move up the property ladder, and I live in an all right house now because of what happened there. I would happily celebrate that on a bank holiday.
Yeah, but Ian, you saying that there, I was brought up in a bought house. My parents came to this country from Ireland. We couldn't, my father used to tell me about the days, no Irish apply, no Irish this, that and the other. So he worked all my family, apart from me, because of my problems I've had, and I don't want to talk about them. I live in a council flat. But with your mother and my friends who have done exactly the same...
Yeah.
And I've told them so as well.
Yep.
There is a housing shortage now because of that.
Yep.
Anyway, the person I would give it to, because she was loved by the whole country, and I'm not a royalist, I would make it Diana's Day.
Oh, Sean, really?
I would.
Why?
Because I think
she cheated on her husband with several people.
Well, he cheated on her first.
But
anyway,
we don't want to celebrate
so let's
that.
Let's not get into that. Loved her.
We want to celebrate a millionaire who cheated on her husband.
She wasn't a millionaire when he married her.
Well, she was a millionaire by the end.
Well, what difference does it make anyway? The country loved her, and I bet you'll get more people say how much she loved her.
Sean.
How much they loved her more than they loved Margaret Thatcher.
Sean, stay on the line. Let's do a little straw poll. Marie?
Yeah?
Would you like a Lady Di Day? Ooh.
No.
Sean, you see? First one.
Okay, right.
Hang on, let's try Trevor. Trevor?
Hello?
Hello?
You're calling a Lady Di, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Diana.
Okay. Hello, Trevor?
Yeah?
Yes, you're right.
Yes, fine, yes.
Sounds like you've fallen down a hole.
I went for a drink 4 years ago, and a drink for in a little pub.
With Lady Di?
Yeah.
What? Hang on.
Our boss owned a lot of big garages, like...
Hang on a second, I'm getting very confused. I've lost control, I'm reining it back in. Trevor, we'll get to your drink in a second, but would you like a Lady Di Day?
No, not really.
Hang on, Trevor, we'll come to you in a second. You see, Sean, that's of that straw poll, 100%. 100% are against it.
Okay, well, that's 2-1 anyway.
Okay.
But I think if you went through the whole country, you'd find it quite different.
I haven't, Sean, thank you. I haven't got time. I'm only here till 12. But I'll do a little straw poll. Trevor, we'll come to you in a second. Marie, let's go to you first. Marie, what do you think? Margaret Thatcher Day.
Oh.
Ooh. Does that mean yes?
But not for the right reasons.
Oh.
No, like my text said, I'd rather have a John Peel or a Spike Milligan Day. It's the last bank holiday this summer.
Now, Spike Milligan Day. Now you speak my language.
Yeah.
John Peel was...
Maggie Thatcher Day.
Yeah.
We celebrate anyway.
Can
every
I
day,
speak...
The fact that she's gone.
Oh, Marie, you weren't one of those naughty people... What a dirty giggle.
Yes,
you,
I know. Yes. I agree with Dave Nellis completely.
You weren't one of those people, one of those horrible people that had a party when she died, were you?
Oh, well, unfortunately, I was stuck in Portugal. I was gutted.
Oh, dear.
Otherwise, I would have done.
Oh, Marie, no.
It's a fun day.
Suddenly it's not a sexy giggle, it's an evil giggle. Marie, we don't... Listen, we're better than that. We don't have parties when old women die.
Oh, sorry, no, we don't. And that's not the point.
No.
It was their legacy. It's nothing to do with the actual woman herself, who showed her true colours when her own son went missing. You know, in spite of the fact that thousands of troops went missing and killed.
Yep.
Don't get me into it.
No, but Marie, we're not going to get you into it. We'll back away because we're coming up to the travel line. I want to squeeze... Trevor in. Trevor in Wolverhampton, who's definitely not fallen down a hole. Who did you have a drink with, Trevor? I'm confused.
Years ago, the boss of a big garage where I worked.
Yes.
You know, to sell Rolls Royce and things like
that. Oh.
Anyway, Margaret Thatcher came down to the town hall.
Thatcher.
And he was there and he brought it down to our firm. And we took her for a drink in a little pub round the corner.
Oh, you took Thatcher out for a booze up?
And she was very nice. A laugh a minute.
Hello. What did you joke about with Margaret Thatcher in the pub?
Well, one thing, it was only a small pub, and there's a couple coming from the market, and a man and his wife, and the man come over and said to my wife, said to her, she said, "Excuse me, but you don't look like Margaret Thatcher." And she said, "Do I?" And Dennis was with her, and she nudged him. She said, "That lady says I look like Margaret Thatcher." And he said, "Well, you drink like her anyway."
But on bumps. What did she drink, Trevor? That's what everybody's wondering.
Well, she had, I think it was a gin and tonic.
Those were the days.
But she was very nice and laughable and jokey and everything like that.
So you would happily celebrate a Margaret Thatcher Day and maybe have a little G&T in memory of her?
Yes, I would, because I think she was the only Tory person that thought for the workers, like...
Trevor, listen, we have to end it there, because I've got to squeeze in travel. I don't have to squeeze it in. Travel can have as much room as they want, for goodness sakes. It's travel. Trevor, thank you very much. Bill, stay there. We'll speak to you after this. That's the most terrifying trail I've ever heard in my life. Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I should be having a little bit of that. Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, filling in for Nick Conrad, who's away for a few weeks. He's got the cheek to have fallen in love and gotten married. In a few minutes, we'll be talking about the EDL and the possibility of them coming to Birmingham. But let's just, before that, let's talk about Bill. Sorry, we can talk to Bill about Bill if he wants to, or we can talk to Bill about Margaret Thatcher. Morning, Bill in Tamworth.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Margaret Thatcher Day makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
I don't want to go into the Margaret Thatcher Day, but I'd like to put right the sort of scaremongering and tales that this union guy was on, the Labour member.
Okay, yes.
Because what it all goes back to, that in 1959,
oh dear,
a long time before Mrs. Thatcher was elected,
yeah,
20 years...
I suspect this is going to be a long story, yes?
No, it's not a long story, it's a very short one.
Okay.
The coal board declared that they would close 300 pits initially from the 630 over the following 10 years.
Yes.
So that would take you 1959 to 1969.
I feel like I'm living this in real time, yes.
The closure then continued, and of course, by the time Mrs. Thatcher got in, obviously there wasn't a lot to close.
Right.
There was well over half them closed.
Right.
That's the first thing.
Oh, there's more.
Regarding the coal board closure and the pits.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of scaremongering going on.
Okay.
I'm not saying Mrs. Thatcher wasn't involved in the latter stages, which was really a fight between herself and Arthur Scargill.
Okay.
Now, regarding the other issues which I'd like to raise quickly, the unions hijacked the car industry in the UK.
I'm really sorry to interrupt. I'm only doing this because I've got a couple of guests lined up. I do feel we're going slightly off the tangent. I don't particularly want to, re-educate everyone on Margaret Thatcher's failings or otherwise. But
I haven't even talked about her failings or otherwise. The reason for phoning up, Ian,
yes,
is just simply this.
Yes.
That the coal board declared the closure programme long before, 20 years before Mrs. Thatcher got into power. And that's what people want to get into their heads. And I'll leave it at that and carry on to enjoy your show.
Bill, thank you very much. You're very kind. And I thank you for appreciating the nature of a show like this. We're kind of driven by time. And it's 10 to 11 already. You can keep calling about Margaret Thatcher and names and ginger people as well. But let's move on to something perhaps a little bit more serious. Last night, a community meeting was held to try to stop the English Defence League to be allowed to hold a demonstration in Birmingham later this month. Well, despite the City Council condemning the protest on the 20th of July, a massive police operation is being planned for the event, which the EDL claims will be one of the biggest protests it's staged this year.
It will be a big operation. It is an operation that we're equipped to deal with. Sadly, it is an operation that we've done before, and we are prepared for that. But, of course, it's not an event. We welcome the opportunity to police.
Well, it comes at a time of, increasing community tensions following the murder of a soldier in Woolwich and a number of hate crime attacks on mosques. Well, I guess the question is, how important is free speech, even if we don't like what some people are saying? 08453 009956. First of all, we can find out how the meeting went last night from community leader Suleiman. Good morning, Suleiman.
Good morning.
What happened in the meeting last night?
Well, what happened is that we had a community gathered in our mosque here in Spark Hill. We had representatives from the West Midland Police as well as people from other faiths. And we all said that, English Defence League is not welcome to Birmingham.
Why not?
The reason is because they are a bunch of racists and they preach hate. And in Birmingham, we have a beautiful multicultural city which all the communities, live in harmony, and all they are going to do is, destroy that and preach hate. And like you said yourself, that already, mosques are being attacked. And, the whole of Muslim...
But the mosques aren't being attacked by the EDL, are they?
Well, they are. EDL propagates, attacks on mosques, because if you see the mosques which have been attacked, one mosque in Walsall was, fortunately not destroyed by a homemade bomb. So,
what evidence do you have, Suleiman, that that was specifically from a member of the EDL?
Well, I never said that it's a member of EDL. This is what EDL preaches.
Well, I've never spoken to Tommy Robinson, who is the leader of the EDL, but I have heard interviews with him, and he certainly doesn't preach making bombs and putting them in mosques.
No, but he, if you try to, to attack a community,
yeah,
and you create, hate for that community, So, you know, it leads to, you know, certain things. So it leads to attacks. It leads to, you know, the recent report by the Birmingham City Council, which commissioned, you know, has shown that, you know, hate crime is in increase and Islamophobic attacks have been increased. So where does that come from? Because where previously...
But the EDL, I don't know if you've read any... I can't believe I'm defending Tommy Robinson. But the EDL, if you read their literature, which I have done, and if you listen to their leader, Tommy Robinson, being interviewed, he specifically states he doesn't encourage violence against anybody. He doesn't want any violence.
Well, look at his record. I mean, you know, violent attack, all the people who are associated with the EDL, they are hooligans and they have attacked and they all have faced criminal prosecution in
let's,
the past.
Let's not get too carried away in personal. Do you not think, Suleiman, on the subject of free speech, that one of the great things about this country is we can say pretty much what we want. Can't do it on air. There are certain things I can't say on air for obvious reasons. But if I wanted to go in the street and protest about something, as long as I ticked all the boxes, I could do that. So shouldn't they...
What the EDL is doing, they're targeting one community and they're, you know, offering a political solution. When you know, this country faces a lot of economic problem these days, BNP and these racist people, they're offering the solution, blaming one community, blaming immigrants, blaming black community. You know, they're racist, and that's what it is. And I think, you know, in a democracy, racism shouldn't be allowed to go further, because what you're going to do is then create tension. So what do we want? We want riots in Birmingham like we had in 2010.
Of course, no one wants riots.
You know,
before I bring in the next guest, Suleiman, are you saying that we shouldn't even allow the EDL? We should stop them existing?
No. See, it's not, I'm saying that English Defence League is very clear. You know, they're racist. And if you preach racism, if you preach hatred, and, you know, what is, you know, Lee Rigby's, you know, killing has to do with EDL?
Yeah.
EDL are racist, they are Nazis. And I'm asking you, the British soldiers fought against, you know, Hitler.
Yes.
So what has the, you know, EDL got to do with the Lee Rigby?
Suleiman, stay there, because I'm joined now by Dr. Evan Harris, who's a former Lib Dem MP and a civil liberties campaigner. What do you think about things like this, Dr. Harris, about the EDL protesting in Birmingham, when it will get people very upset, won't it?
Yes, it will. And like you, I don't agree with the EDL. I abhor what they say, but they have a right to say it as long as they stay within the law. And what you can't do, I think, is say that inciting hatred, except on the grounds of race, which is illegal, should be unlawful and therefore banned, because it's just too hard to define. And it's important. If I say we should all hate EDL activists, I don't think I should be prosecuted or banned from saying that. And also, of course, it's wholly counterproductive, because you create martyrs, which is what they want. They want to be banned. They want to be driven, and you also drive them underground, which is much more difficult for the police to keep tabs on them. And so I think it's a bad idea to do banning in these circumstances.
The thing is, though, these things do often kick off. I'm looking at a copy of the local newspaper here, and some of the costs for policing these EDL marches, £162,000 in October 2011, £83,000 policing this with 41 arrests of the EDL at another event in September last year. They cost money when we haven't got money. They do. It causes trouble, whether it's the EDL or those against the EDL causing trouble. We don't really want people kind of marching around spouting nasty things in our streets, do we, Dr.
Right, so
Harris?
There is, of course, a cost to pay in policing terms for the right of people to speak freely, just as if other people on the other side, if you like, wanted to march, we'd have to police that. That's why there are laws that say you have to comply with police rules about routes and stewarding and so forth, and if you don't, then a march can be banned. But the basic principle is that you should be allowed to have both a static and moving demonstration as long as you stay within the law, in other words, complying with police rules, because they have to manage it and contain the costs. And secondly, you don't incite racial hatred and you don't incite violence
or other crime.
Well, Solomon, if they're protesting within the guidelines of the law, then there's nothing wrong with that,
well,
is there?
This is why we've been asking the British government to change the law, because Muslims are part of this country. We are British citizens.
Yes.
You know, though I am not an Anglo-Saxon white, but I am a citizen of this country. I need protection.
Well, how would you like the law?
Like EDL, please listen to me. Why does EDL, a person, you know, preach hatred against me, what I have done?
But how would you like the law changed then, Suleiman?
Well, law should change to protect the minorities, like the Muslim community.
Well, what specific change?
Nobody has the right to preach hatred against us.
Well, Dr. Harris can clarify. I don't think anyone has the right to preach hatred against them, have they, Dr. Harris?
Well, so what's illegal in this country is inciting hatred, encouraging your supporters in the back room of a pub or on a march to hatred on the grounds of race, using insulting or threatening language, insulting, abusive, or threatening language. When it comes to religion, it's a different test. But you're not allowed to incite hatred against people using threatening language. They've got it coming to them, that sort of thing. The problem is that we don't ban insults, religious insults, because, you know, that means anyone who says the word infidel, okay, or you'll go to hell because you don't believe in our book, you know, you start impinging on religious freedom when you don't allow criticism of religion and people who follow religions, as long as you don't incite crime, incite hatred using threatening language, or incite violence. So that was what Parliament debated. We debated and voted by one vote. I led the campaign to ensure it was a narrower law. And I'd say the danger is that as soon as you start saying, banning things like hate, which is a nebulous term, because I hate Nazis and I don't want to be prosecuted for encouraging others to do so, you get into very difficult territory.
If we did what Suleiman requested, that we changed the law to protect Muslims, would that be a step in the wrong direction, do you think, Dr. Harris?
Well, we need to protect Muslims, and that's why it is clearly illegal to incite hatred against Muslims using threatening language. It's already an offence under the Public Order Act to go up to someone and use abusive language directly to them, or indeed insulting language, let alone threatening language. And it's also illegal to, in a public place, generally issue threats. So there are plenty of laws. In fact, I would argue that the law already goes too far in this general area. So it's not right that Muslims are not protected.
I understand that. I have to interrupt just because we're running out of time. I just want to get the last word from Suleiman.
Suleiman, you
are protected.
It's not correct. You know, Muslims are not protected by law, because this is what EDL... See, you go to every EDL march and look, you know, what they preach. They you know, shout hatred slogan toward the Muslims. And, you know, law just allows that. So you know, we as a citizen of this country demand that law should be changed and we should be protected as a minority community.
Suleiman, we have to end it there. Thank you very much indeed. That's community leader Suleiman and also Dr. Evan Harris. What do you think? Free speech? We're lucky to have it. Does it actually exist? Should the EDL be allowed to march? Give me a call on that, 08453 009956. And did you see Andy Murray whinging like a baby last night? It was embarrassing.
BBC WM
95.6.
Teachers, if you don't like it, get out of it.
Pensioners who can't do anything to boost her income.
Abduction? As far as I'm aware, she actually went willingly.
Ian Lee, Saturdays
9 till 12. BBC WM
95.6.
Morning, this is Ian Lee on BBC WM 95.6, filling in for Nick Comrade while he has the temerity to go off and get married. I'm in for a few weeks. It's been a cracking morning so far. If you've just tuned in, you've missed arguments about common names, ginger kids, and the freedom to protest. Well, coming up in the next hour, we'll still be talking about those if you want to. But also, did you see Andy Murray last night whinging like a baby?
Call 08453 009956.
Ian Lee on BBC WM
95.6.
Not a fan of tennis. I think it's tedious and boring, and I hate the fact that my for every fortnight every year, my television viewing is interrupted by this horrible elitist sport where it's loads of women going It's horrible. It's vulgar and it's disgusting. But But, I did watch a little bit of Andy Murray versus the Polish giant last night, Jerzy somebody or other. His name has already been forgotten. Partly because I wanted to see a 6'8" man. I like men that are taller than me. I'm 6'3", and it's very rare I meet someone who's taller than me. And when I do, I surreptitiously go up to them in the shop and stand next to them because I get the idea of what other people feel like around me. I have to look up to... I love it. I have to look up to somebody. It's a very rare thing. It's a novelty. So I wanted to see the giant. And also, I'd bet a fiver on it. I'd bet a fiver on the Polish guy to win, so I'm £5 down, which is this one. So I watched some of it. And I was disappointed they showed lots of James Corden, the comedy actor. And I did say, if they show Corden one more time, I'm off. They showed him one more time. I was about to go. But then the tennis match, well, it got very interesting because we saw an element. We saw Andy Murray's, in inverted commas, personality, and I use that with a very small p, coming through. There was the bit where Jerzy walked off and Andy Murray sat down and the umpire and another man were having a chat. And they made the decision they were going to put the roof on. Because they've got a roof now, haven't they? Didn't used to have a roof when I was a kid. They've got a roof. So if it's going to rain or if it's getting dark, they close the roof and they turn the lights on, turn the heating up, and they have a little bit of tennis indoors, OK? And they made the decision, the umpire, OK, made the decision to put the roof on. So a fellow went over to Andy Murray and said, well, Mr. Murray, just to let you know, we will be closing the roof. Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, it's not fair! Oh, no! No, they're closing! Oh, no! And he went... It was like a 12-year-old being told to go and tidy his room. He wouldn't have spoken to his mum like that. He wouldn't have spoken to Judy like that. She'd have given him what for. It was embarrassing. Any respect I may have had for Andy Murray went straight out of the window. I thought it was disgusting. His lack of respect for the umpire and the judge was just... I couldn't quite comprehend. And just him whinging like a baby. He's been effing and jeffing like nobody's business this week. Lots of indoor language on the courts. And then he just whinged. I was embarrassed. Now, I tweeted this. I'm on Twitter, at Ian Lee. And I tweeted this last night, thinking everyone would go, yeah, it was embarrassing, wasn't it? No. I got so much abuse. The strongest swear words? I got that. I got that aimed at me. Mainly because they said, oh, yeah, the Polish guy was whinging before. The Polish guy was whinging in front of Andy Murray, in front of the crowd. It was theatrics. He was playing up. Andy Murray was doing it just because he was... Oh, no, it's not fair! I might do my proper Andy Murray impression later. I can do a really good... Genuinely, I can do a good Andy Murray. I might do it later on. Did you watch it last night? Were you embarrassed by it? Do give me a call. It's the only bit of Wimbledon I've seen. It's the only bit of Wimbledon I will see. I won't be watching the finals today or tomorrow. No interest in that whatsoever. 08453-009956. Simple question. Did Andy Murray moan like an old woman last night? A big baby. Were you embarrassed by it? Should he have a little bit more respect for the umpires? For the rules? Hilda's in King's Standing. Morning, Hilda.
Good morning.
Hilda, did you see Andy Murray whinging like a child last night?
No, but you are annoying me so much today. Did you see the beginning of the match, all the way from the start?
What happened?
The other man was moaning that he wanted the roof closed. He wanted to know when the roof was going to be closed. Every time he got near the chair, every time he sat down, he was making signs with his hands and his racket that he wanted the roof closed. And that was right from the beginning of the match.
Was Andy Murray there?
Yeah.
Was the umpire there?
Yeah. Okay. He was talking...
Theatrics. Showbiz.
The other bloke was talking to the umpire and kept going on about, I want the roof closed. What time's the roof being closed? I want to know when the roof's closed.
He's well within his rights to know what time the roof's being closed.
Also, is Murray to pull his face.
Well, but the thing is, Hilda, the fact that Jerzy, the Polish giant, was doing it in front of Andy Murray, it was a little bit of gamesmanship. I believe in cricket they call it sledding, is that right? It's a little bit... It's just a little bit of, you know, he's being theatrical. He's playing a psychological game. Andy Murray was there on his own, just whinging like a 12-year-old told to put his shoes by the front door.
Good. I'm glad he beat him.
I'm not. I had a fiver on the other fella.
Which area do you come from normally?
Which area? I come from Great Britain, Hilda.
No, I meant what radio station are you on usually?
I'm on BBC WM.
Oh, yeah, normally.
Well, now is normal, isn't it?
No, I mean during the week and that.
Oh, why? Do you want to follow me around or do you want to make sure you don't stumble across me?
I want to make certain I don't stumble across you because the item about Katie Price was done to death on WM some weeks
okay,
ago.
Right.
On Friday...
Well, not some weeks ago. The story's only come out this week, so you've not done it some weeks ago.
It was, because it was done... It was the same interview, virtually the same thing. It was on WM.
Hilda, it wasn't done some weeks ago. It was done this week.
No, and it was also done some weeks ago because I stood in the kitchen and heard it.
No, you didn't.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, she's going to put the phone down? There we go, you see. We'll like to call a hit and run. It wasn't done some weeks ago, as the story's only come out. And one of the joys, Hilda, who, by the way, is still listening, one of the joys, Hilda, of doing a show on Saturday is we get the best pick of the stories that have been in the week, and we get to spend a little bit longer with them. And I listen to WM. I'm a great fan of Adrian Goldberg in the week. Boy, oh boy, wasn't he on fire this week. A bit of him was used on Radio 4 this week. Oh, that's posh, moving up market a bit. And a bit of Danny Kelly. I do listen. And while their shows are excellent, quite often, particularly with a show like Danny Kelly or something like that, they don't have as much time as we have on a Saturday morning to lend to the story. So we can investigate them a little bit more. I do love it when someone says, I don't like the show, but I'm going to phone them up anyway and keep listening. We'll talk more about Andy Murray in a little bit and his whinging. Didn't do that. Yes, they did. They only happened last night. But before that, before the news, we were talking about the EDL. Well, the EDL could be protesting in Birmingham yet again. There was a meeting last night for people who want to ban the march. But free speech is important, isn't it? Brian's in Bartley Green. Morning, Brian.
Morning.
What do you think about the EDL protesting in Birmingham again?
Well, they've got every right to protest. Every right whatsoever, because I don't think they're protesting against the Muslim people. They're protesting, I think, I'm not a member at all, but I think they're protesting about the amount of immigrants that's in this country. It should have been stopped years ago. Now, the Muslim community, if you think about it, they've been building mosques here, there, everywhere. They're gradually trying to work their culture upon us. This is what it seems to me over the years.
When was the last time, Brian, you were forced by a Muslim to go to a mosque?
I wasn't forced. Well, no, then how are they trying going up left, right and centre?
Well, they're not. Brian, now listen, you've said something that's clearly nonsense. They're not just slapping up mosques every which way but loose. There are a few mosques around, and people have the right to pray to their God, whatever that God may be, don't they?
Who gives them the right to build mosques in a Christian country?
Well, the thing
is, could you go and build a Christian church in their country?
In which country?
In their country, anywhere, you name it.
In which country particular?
The Muslim countries in India, in Pakistan, anywhere like that.
India's a Sikh country. In Pakistan, there are lots of... have you ever been to Pakistan?
No.
You should go, it's brilliant.
I've been quite a lot of places.
You should go to Pakistan. I spent 3 months there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place. And there are lots of Christian churches there.
I'm glad to hear that, because when a police constable apologises to the Muslim community for putting CCTV cameras down that cost the country £350,000, now there was a man on earlier, he was moaning about he needed protection. The Muslim people needed protection.
Yeah.
From who? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, there is a lot of anti...
The cameras down, that's a
Brian.
Protection. Why shouldn't they go up?
There is a
in
lot...
their areas, in other areas, it's okay.
Brian, in light of recent events, and I don't want to talk about recent events, but I think you know what I'm alluding to, there has been an increase in... hatred directed at Muslim communities in terms of I know that in North London there was a fire in a Muslim community centre. In Birmingham there have been lots of acts of vandalism done to mosques. So that's not right, is it?
That's
not right, is it?
No, it's not right. But okay. All I've seen is painted on the outside a bit of graffiti. That's the main thing I've only seen.
But that's not right, though, is it? We shouldn't encourage that.
Is it right for
them to throw stones at our troops. Is it right for them?
I don't think. When did that happen?
They can go and protest and it's on the line. Nobody's stopping
but
them.
What you're doing there, Brian, we've got to go in the next 30 seconds.
I'm sounding like a member of the EDL here, but I'm not.
No.
All I am is just an ordinary citizen. Like.
But
I've watched it growing over the years.
Brian.
And
your meal's done now, Brian. Very quickly, you're doing that generalisation. You're saying almost, you know, you're implying all Muslims have been chucking stones
at soldiers. No, but there is a few, and I mean, we're just getting rid of Abu Qaeda tomorrow.
Yes.
He's been preaching hatred. They bring it on themselves.
Brian, thank you very much indeed. Brian, saying that Muslims bring it on themselves. And Abu Qaeda, who is finally being deported. I think he means Abu Qatada. Right, it's 11:15. I'm guessing lots of you watched Andy Murray win the tennis last night. What a fuss he made when they were closing the roof. Have a listen to this. You might need to get close to the radio. This is the moment he was told they were closing the roof.
He's been complaining about it for the last 40 minutes. It's ridiculous. It's not even dark. It's not even dark.
Oh, dear. I mean, his voice went up 3 octaves there. What do you think? Did he sound like a big baby, or was he well within his rights to complain? 08 453 00 9956. Well, Sue Mott is a journalist who worked with Murray on his autobiography. Sue, it was a little bit embarrassing last night, wasn't it?
Oh, give him a break. I mean, I thought that just at that precise moment, he was on a roll. He'd come back in this match against that giant bloke serving thunderbolts.
149 miles per hour!
Exactly.
That's incredible.
So, any kind of advantage you've got, and he had got momentum at that point, and then suddenly they're saying to him, right, all got to stop, all off, and it was practical broad daylight. So,
but it was a quarter to nine.
Every reason to be cross.
It was a quarter to nine, so it would have got dark soon. I think they just finished a set, so it seemed to me like the perfect time. He was acting like a spoilt child, Sue.
Have you ever, you know, under duress, panicking slightly, maybe you've lost your car keys and you really need to be out the house, run round like a headless chicken, furious.
In the privacy,
he was under that kind of immediate pressure.
In the privacy of my own home, yes, I have done that. I've not done that in front of a live audience of about, I don't know, 10,000, I don't know how many it holds, or in front of an audience...
15,000.
How many thousand?
15.
Oh, blimey, it's big, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It goes a long way back.
Millions of viewers around the world. And also disrespecting the sports officials.
Oh, please. Thank God somebody actually says how they feel in tennis now. Federer's made it way too polite. And a few moments of seeing someone just letting rip because they need to, I think it's very good for us. It wasn't one of McEnroe's rants. It wasn't being disrespectful. He didn't swear. He was just saying...
He's been swearing this week, though, hasn't he?
No, but only quietly under his breath. I think we can let him get away with that one. I bet you do that as well, don't you?
No, Sue, absolutely never. You've worked with Murray on his autobiography.
Yeah.
He's accused, perhaps unfairly, of having no personality. What's he like in real life as a person?
Well, what he's like, and then you're seeing now, is exactly as I found him then. A really lovely, well-brought-up, polite young man, would you believe? He, and funny. Very funny in a very quiet, understated way. I mean, he really is a very, very decent bloke. And the only reason he's got no personality, as we perceive it, is because Tim Henman took him to one side very early on and said, don't say anything because they will kill you with it. And it's probably been quite good advice.
I remember Tim Henman.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think?
He never knowingly said anything interesting about his entire tennis career. And it's to keep the press and the headlines off your back.
It's the final tomorrow. As much as we'd like British tennis superstar Andy Murray to win, he's going to be Scottish again by 6 o'clock, isn't he?
Oh, you're so cynical. I actually think that this could be the one occasion when the whole world turns upside down and what seemed to be a law of nature, a British man can't win Wimbledon, might actually come true.
Sue, lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much. That's Sue Mott, journalist who worked with Murray on his autobiography. She was a good sport, wasn't she? Thank you, Sue. What do you think? You can tell me whether you think Andy Murray's going to win or not. He won't, and he will be. He's British at the moment. Britain's tennis superstar, Andy Murray. Tomorrow, Scottish tennis player Andy Murray was lost Wimbledon. What do you think? Did you see it? I just found it embarrassing. And any respect that I had for Andy Murray went out of the window. Just that, because normally he talks like, I'm Andy Murray and I'm playing two sets of tennis. Normally he talks like that, doesn't he? Very, like, and he sounded like a 13-year-old child who'd been told to make his bed and do, I don't want to do it, Night Raiders on! He got fit. It was just awful. The two things that were awful about it was, it was awful because he whines like a baby and it was embarrassing, but also because he was disrespecting the umpire. And I thought tennis was one of the few places where they had a little bit of respect. You've got your McEnroes and you've got your naughty, your bad boys in tennis. But it was... Listen, I've got two little boys, a three-and-a-half-year-old and a 17-month-old. And surprisingly, I don't know how they've discovered this. They like tennis. Don't come from me. They've not got the tennis gene from me. They like tennis. They like playing tennis in the back garden. I say playing tennis. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to be Wimbledon champions. And they also, they enjoy watching a little bit of tennis. Now, I was, I don't know if my kids saw this last night. I think it was, they were probably in bed last night, so they would have missed it. I would have been embarrassed for my children to have watched that last night, to have seen Andy Murray kicking off like that, because then my kids are going to think that that's acceptable to whinge when they don't get their way. And they think it was acceptable to disrespect the decision of a sporting judge. It's not acceptable, Andy Murray. It's very, very naughty, Andy Murray. I bet he's got it from his mum, Judy. I bet he's got it from Judy. Do give me a call. 08453 00956. You can also send me a text as well. 81333. Start your text WM. Do put your name down on the text as well. It's nice to know who you are and where you're from. I know that the regulars are calling in, and some of your voices I recognise already, and some of your names I recognise, but it's nice to know to put a name to a text when we get it. I don't think anybody, and I mentioned this on Twitter last night, the Andy Murray thing, thinking people would agree with me. A couple of people did. A couple of people said, yes, he behaved like the spoilt millionaire brat he is. But most people, the abuse I got on Twitter, it was like I'd said, hey, you know that Hitler, wasn't he a cool guy? You know, it was like I'd said something as controversial. By the way, I don't think that for a second. I'm just using that as an example of something controversial. Would never suggest that. But it's like I said something like that. The abuse I was getting. Just incredible. All I said was, Andy Murray was a little bit miserable and he showed a bit of disrespect. That was it. Give me a call. I don't think anybody will be able to defend Andy Murray's actions last night. 08453 00956. If I caught my boys playing tennis and acting like that, I'd be furious. Pat's in Bromsgrove. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
He was out of order, wasn't he?
No, he was not. He wasn't. You didn't obviously watch all the match.
I saw quite a bit of it.
Well, I saw it from the beginning and I saw it to the end. And basically, the Polish guy was quite rude, quite arrogant, and quite nasty at times. And the roof normally would not go off until 9 o'clock. And they'd got half an hour to 45 minutes left that they could play in the daylight. And that's what Wimbledon's all about.
Well, what time did the roof close?
It closed before 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Quite a long time before 9 o'clock. He started from about 7:45 complaining about the light, the pole did. And basically, there was nothing wrong with the light. It was a beautiful evening. And for the commentators to all agree with Murray, I think you're out of order.
It was 8:40, right, when Andrew Jarrett, the tournament referee, I'm getting this from The Independent Online, came onto centre court to tell Murray that the roof would be closed. And it takes about 20 minutes to close the roof.
That's
so the roof closed at 9 o'clock. It would have been dark. It would have been dusk soon after that, wouldn't it?
Well, to be honest, the poll caused all that furore last night, not Andy Murray. He was playing his socks off, and it was at an awful time for them to just close the roof. They could have played at least some more games.
But a set had just been completed. Andy Murray was on a roll. It was
I'm sorry, you're wrong. You're totally wrong, because basically the poll was arrogant, he was abusive, he was not playing, he was not a sporting guy on the course.
What did he do that was arrogant and abusive? I missed that.
He pulled faces at Marie.
Oh.
He kept on.
Oh, dear.
He had quite sharp words with the referee.
Faces.
Yeah, to get the roof closed. It wasn't theatre.
Show business.
It wasn't show business at all. He's too young to be, at 22, he's too young to be going into theatre. It was not theatre, it's what he wanted.
Pat, thank you very much indeed. Well, Pat disagrees with me. It was 8:40 they told the roof was going to close. It took 20 minutes for the roof to close thereabouts. I know, because as soon as they announced it would take 20 minutes, I went out for my supper. Thought, I'm not sticking around to watch a roof closing slowly. I'm not having that. I'm going to go and get some food. I opted for the curry. They didn't have the curry. I went for a pizza instead, if you're interested. That was my meal last night. Disappointing pizza, if I'm completely honest about it. Yes, I know, very disappointing pizza. Healthy. I'm living the healthy dream. Sean's in Edgbaston. Morning, Sean.
Hello again.
Did you... What on earth's going on there? Are you in Edgbaston or the Bronx? Are they coming to take you away?
No, I live on the corner of the main, just up from the mosque.
Okay, as long as you're not in trouble, Sean. Did you see Andy Murray behaving like a child last night?
I don't watch tennis myself. I'm like you. I just watch it when I feel like it, like, you know, occasionally. And I thought I was in a minority about Andy Murray anyway. I've never liked him since he said... You see, like you said there... After tomorrow night, he'll be Scottish again.
Well, he had that famous thing, didn't he, during the World Cup, where he said he wouldn't be supporting England.
Yeah, he says I love it when England lose.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I think he lost a lot of people over that. Like, you know, and like you said, anyway, you know, they all go around with Union Jacks and everything like that. What's he going to be when Scotland get independence?
That's an excellent point. You know, once they do get independence, and they probably will, then he won't be ours anymore.
No, I don't want him anyway.
Did you see him whinging like a girl?
I did, yeah.
It was embarrassing, wasn't
it?
He's a millionaire. Just the referee's made a decision. Go with it.
I'm surprised you didn't ask him to put the floodlights on.
I'm surprised he didn't start crying. I expected him to start sobbing into his hands.
He is. He's like a sports child. He wants his way all the time. Like, you know, he doesn't like to speak to people, you know, like reporters and things like that. He just likes to give a tiny interview. If you're lucky, you get a tiny interview after the game. Like, you know, he's just too big for his boots.
Sean...
Smack on the backside.
Well, I, do you know, I bet, Sean, thank you. I bet Judy, his mum, gives him that even now. What is he, 22, 23? My mum's in a wheelchair, but if she wasn't, she's quite slow in it. If she was faster in it, I would still get a wallop. She says, you come here, I'm not going anywhere near you, love. I know you're going to give me a slap. But I bet Andy Murray still gets, I bet he gets thoroughly told off by his mum. Jill's in Wolverhampton. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Did you see Andy Murray whinging like a child?
I saw him and he was wonderful.
Sorry? What?
I think you were watching a different match to me.
Oh, no, don't close the roof. I'm playing my tennis.
No, that other chap was whinging for at least half an hour to get the roof shut, and there was no need for the roof to be shut at that point.
Oh, Jill, it was what I believe they call in cricket sledding. It's a little bit of show business. He's playing to the crowd, and he's winding Andy Murray up. It's psychological warfare.
Why are you saying he's playing to the crowd, but Andy Murray is whinging?
Well, he wasn't trying to psychologically damage the Polish guy, because the Polish guy was off in the changing rooms when he was whinging like a girl.
Yes, but he was on a roll, he was doing well, there was no need at all for the roof to be shut, at least for half an hour. The blooming other chap was moaning and whinging, and in the end, they shut it well before time, and Andy, you know, I'm well behind him.
Andy Murray was always going to win that game last night. The other guy, he's good. He's got a really fast serve. He hasn't quite got the specific skills to beat someone who is as masterful as Andy Murray. So Andy Murray should have just got on with it. It's the disrespecting of the official's decision.
Don't you think it goes two ways? It goes two ways. I mean, it's six of one and half a dozen of the other. So it's tennis. They both were blowing off. That's it. Nobody's fault.
I missed that bit, Jill. Thank you very much indeed. I missed them blowing off, if that's indeed what was going on. Betty's in Sutton Coldfield. Morning, Betty.
Yeah, I've only just come in on this conversation.
Did you see Andy Murray blowing off last night?
I'm well over 70.
Excellent.
Well over.
Congratulations.
But,
has a point been brought up that the Polish chappie, who is a very, very talented man and will be around for a long time,
yes,
he asked, complained about the light,
yep,
from 8 o'clock.
Yep.
You've had that, has that point been brought up?
It has been brought up, but, and it's I've ruled
and officially
it,
on that, it was 8. It said on the television,
yeah,
it was complaining from 8. Okay. I don't know whether that's what you've heard.
Well, at 8.40, the judges made the decision to close.
They made the decision, but yes, from just after 8, wait, they said he was complaining about the light.
I've ruled that point as invalid.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, why do they tell these things to us on television?
No, it's true, it happened, but it's part of this argument. I'm ruling the fact that Jertsy asked for the roof to be closed as invalid in this argument.
Oh, is it? Oh, I see. So you have to, because I think when you're doing an argument, you bring everything into
no.
it. But purely the fact, if the both of them were in a, did a terrific game, and the frustration is Murray was just letting off steam.
Again, I missed that. I missed him letting off last night. Do you think, Betty, do you think he stands a chance on Sunday?
I think it depends, personally, on... You always have a good or a bad day,
yes,
don't you, on
yeah.
these things? And it weighs upon things. I think, personally, I think it's about 50-50, because they are excellent players, but it's how one feels. You yeah. need that extra 5%, don't you?
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
And it would be nice. And the Scottish business, which I was one who said, well, let him go back to Scotland. Or,
yeah.
But you listen to and I'm not a football fan.
No.
You listen to football players and they say, oh, I'm in the World Cup and I'm Irish or I'm English. I'm not supporting the Scots. That's what that's what we do. It's forgotten it.
But
I mean,
but I remember, Betty, when back in the day when Scotland had half a decent team, when England got kicked out of tournaments, we'd all then switch our allegiance to Scotland or to Ireland, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
but Andy
yeah.
Murray said he wanted the England team to be knocked out.
Yeah,
he'd
yeah.
celebrate
it's
that.
It's just one of those things, really. But it just enhanced me when they were saying about the light. Another reason why they didn't want it to go over
yeah.
is the fact that both there would be the finals on Sunday, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
And that they'd have to play today.
Yes.
They would have had to do a set or something, or,
yes.
well, it would have been a set today.
So that's why the roof...
I just had to get it out of my frustration,
okay.
like Andy Murray did.
Yes. So are you letting off now?
Yes.
Betty, then we
because
probably...
I can see all points on this.
Well done, Betty. We better leave it at that then. Well, very passionate about it. I'm glad I had a couple of supporters. You can give us a call. I'm here till midday, by the way. And then it's Tammy Gooding. So don't phone her up about Andy Murray or the EDL. I mean, you can if you want. She might want to chat. I suspect she's got other things to talk about and some good music to play. But if you do want to give me a call, 08453 009956. One of the other things we've been mentioning today, it was suggested in the week by Peter Bone MP that the bank holiday in August becomes a Margaret Thatcher day. And I don't see the problem with that. Surely either side, people who liked her and people who didn't like her, would get something out of it. Well, Barry in Tamworth has called in. Barry, what do you think? Are you in support of a Margaret Thatcher Day?
Under no circumstances.
Why is that?
But when Trevor come on and says the immortal words that Thatcher was the only Tory that thought about the working class...
This was one of the callers earlier on, yes.
Yeah, the working man.
Yeah.
Well, I took a step backwards and I fell over the cat.
Oh. And how's the cat? Is he all right?
He's all right, yeah, good. All right. But the cat's all right, so that's all right, isn't it? But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, she loved the working class that much. What she did, she said, I'll tell you what, I don't really want the working class to go to work anymore. So what I'm going to do, she said, I'm going to shut down all the coal mines.
Yes.
I'm going to shut down all the steelworks. She said, I'm going to flog all the utilities off to foreign countries. I'm going to sell all the ports. I'm going to sell the airports.
Yes.
And, you know, so in a way, in this country now, we've got next to nothing. I mean, we've got the Royal Mail, but obviously that's going to be the next thing that we're going to...
But the thing
off,
about
anyway.
Having a Margaret Thatcher Day, and obviously you're not a fan, but you,
well,
could still
oh, yes.
you could still enjoy a Margaret Thatcher bank holiday. Bank holidays, Barry, are very, very dull. If you've got kids, it's like, well, what do we do with the kids? You don't want to go anywhere because everybody's gone somewhere. There's nothing decent on the TV. You just sit around, waste a day. The country loses money every bank holiday. That's a fact. To make it more interesting, those who like Margaret Thatcher could celebrate the magic of Thatcher. And those who don't like Margaret Thatcher, like you could feel a little bit grumpy. And
well,
you could be
I'm
happy
I'm
feeling
sure.
a bit grumpy.
Well, I'm retired, so it didn't really make no difference. But what tell you what I'd like, what day I'd like in, to name would be Mrs. Duffy Day.
Who?
You know, Mrs. Duffy from Rochdale.
Oh, right.
Who, you know, when she spoke for the nation when, what you call it, Gordon Brown.
Oh, she was the lady, was she the lady that Mrs. Brown, Gordon Brown called a bigot?
Yeah, Gordon Brown, yeah. Yes.
I see,
you know, she
right.
spoke for the whole nation. I can, anyway, all right, I'm right. Well, as regards your, you know, about Murray, like, I do believe that you're only trying to wind us up, like, you know what I mean? I think I've...
Did you not see him? Did you not see him whinging like a 12-year-old child who'd been told to go and do his homework and switch off his Xbox last night? It was awful.
Yeah, but I've seen that Jersey Joe Walcott, whatever his name is.
Yep.
I've seen him moaning a lot more than Murray. He was the one who started the complaint.
But the Jersey was doing it in front of Andy Murray. He was having a little psychological battle with him. Andy Murray did it on his own.
Yeah, well, anyway, so he won anyway. So
exactly, Barry. Listen, he won, so he's happy. It's you know. And Mrs. Duffy Day, I'd be up for that. Mrs. Duffy was the woman who cornered Gordon Brown before the election and was, you know, talking about immigration and stuff like that. And then Gordon Brown was recorded and he's kind of a horrible, bigoted old woman. I'd have a Duffy Day, yeah. Let's have a Duffy Day. I'm certainly up for that. I think that's a cracking idea. We've been covering lots of stuff this morning. And if we get time before 12, we'll talk a little bit about male grooming, but, you know, making yourself look nice. But before that, we've been all over the place. Let's go through the thing. Names, common names, ginger people, Margaret Thatcher Day, and freedom of speech. The EDL want to protest in Birmingham again, on July the 20th, I think it is. Now, there's a cracking story in the Birmingham Mail about the costs incurred by various EDL protests. This comes from Khalid Mahmood, an MP who wants to fine the EDL protesters. A Birmingham MP has demanded huge fines for EDL protesters who break the law after it emerged it had cost £260,000 to police just three demonstrations in the region. It's a lot of money. Is that good enough reason to stop them protesting? Should we embrace and celebrate the freedom of speech that we have in this country and allow the EDL to protest? Or should we go, actually, do you know what? What they're saying is pretty nasty, pretty hateful. No, we don't want it here. Malcolm's in Acox Green. Morning, Malcolm.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Should we let the... is free speech important in this country?
Very important, of course.
Should we let the EDL protest in that case?
Well, of course the EDL should protest. They've got a perfect democratic right to protest. If they believe what they're fighting for deserves a protest, then a protest should take place. And these people of the left persuasion dislike it, then I'm sorry.
Even if
a democratic country.
The EDL are associated with racism and with hatred of minorities. Well, they are associated with that.
Well, yes, of course. I appreciate your point of view, what you're saying. I'm not saying for one moment that there are people in the EDL who are racist as much as people who are Muslim who hate anti-British way of life. You know, you've got all sorts. I mean, you can't sort of stop a march or it's a demonstration now, isn't it? You can't stop a demonstration because there are a few... bad eggs in the oven, so to speak.
The thing I don't get about the EDL is if they believe so strongly in what they believe in, and I'm still not 100% sure of what that is, but if they believe so strongly, why do so many of them cover their faces when they go on marches?
In covering faces in Union Jacks, you mean?
Well, they quite often wear balaclavas, or they just hide their faces want to be identified. Now, that to me would imply there's something not quite right.
Yes, I appreciate your point of view. There are a few. I mean... You know, but you can't sort of stigmatise every member of the EDL of covering their faces. I'm sure that lots of people will agree and lots of people will disagree with me. All I'm trying to portray to you, sir, is this, that the EDL have a perfect right in a democratic society to protest if they believe what's going on in this country is wrong.
Just we're running out of time, I want to get to my next guest, but just to, I would assume, therefore, Malcolm, that you would certainly appreciate that anti-fascist groups and Muslim groups would also have the right to protest against the EDL.
Of course, it's a democratic society.
Exactly, and that's what makes it. That's what makes it so good, Malcolm. Thank you. I'm just moving on, just because this was. If you've just tuned in, something we touched on earlier on. We spoke to Katie Hopkins. You probably remember her from The Apprentice, and she was in I'm a Celebrity a few years ago. Well, she's been under fire for saying she didn't like kids with lower class names. She also kind of then moved on to redheads and people with ginger hair. Here's what Katie Hopkins said to me earlier on in the show about ginger babies.
There's all sorts of views in society about different things, aren't there? My view is, as with many other people's views, ginger babies aren't as attractive as regular babies. I personally, that's just my view.
Ginger babies aren't as attractive as regular babies. And she also said, ginger babies, like a baby, just so much harder to love. That was her comments on Twitter yesterday. Well, it's controversial. If you've got ginger kids in your family, do give me a call, 08453 009956. Joined on the line now by Peter Bradley, who's the Deputy Director of Kidscape. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Ian.
When you hear things like what Ms. Hopkins just said, how do you react?
Well, it certainly doesn't help matters. The position is that there are many beautiful babies out there with ginger hair. And this is something which is a very British phenomenon. You wouldn't find this happening anywhere else in Europe. But certainly, even just 2 days ago, I worked with a child who had been severely bullied only because he had red hair. And this is just discrimination which would not happen in any other part of the way that we bring children up these days. But certainly a celebrity who's going out saying these things and is not helping matters.
How old was this kid? And obviously don't give away any specific details, but how old was this kid that you were counselling?
This boy came down with his parents. He was 11 years old. He hasn't been in school for 6 months because of year after year, 2 years of bullying because of his hair. And he just couldn't cope anymore. It was relentless. It was day in, day out. The teachers weren't doing anything. And from being a very bright and outward-going child, he withdrew into himself. He lost confidence. And it was very, very difficult for him.
We do. I mean, kids are horrible. Let's be honest. You know, they look for differences. They hunt in packs. They find weaknesses, and they go for it, don't they? I think it's later in life that we become certainly better educated about differences. But even me as an adult, when we were having our kids, even me and my wife kind of asked the question: "Oh, how will we feel if it's a ginger?" And I'm not proud for saying that. I'm just being honest. It's an inherent thing in our society, isn't it?
But it's only in British society, and that's something which we can't quite understand. And of course, if you go north of the border, up in Scotland, you've got many more redheads. And there are many celebrities out there who celebrate the red hair. Just look at Patty Palmer, you know, Bianca from EastEnders.
Oh, beautiful, yes.
Nicola Roberts from Girls Aloud. You know, absolutely stunning red hair. And it's something that we do need to challenge. It's not acceptable to bully people, to bully children, just because of the colour of the hair.
At Kidscape, what can you do to stop bullying? Is there anything you can do?
We do lots of things. We work with the children who are being bullied. We work with the bully. We work with teachers. We work with parents. The child that I was telling you about, he came across on a ZAP course. And for anyone that needs help out there, a ZAP course is for children 8 to 16-year-olds who have been severely bullied. They can come down to London for a free course. Now, what's important with any child is that you turn that passive behaviour into assertive behaviour.
Yeah.
And what we try to do, you know, if I talk about this boy with the ginger hair, we looked at creative ways of responding to people who called him names, and we slowly built his confidence up.
So, Peter, you gave him the skills to deal with that situation, and well done you for doing that work. Peter Bradley, Deputy Director of Kidscape. Dumb. That's what it needs at the end there. That's what was missing. It was throwing me earlier when I heard that. Something's missing. It's that dumb. You can clip that and use that. That's free. That's a gift. That's a gift from me to BBC WM. You can have that. Hello, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, here until midday, sitting in for Nick. It's Tammy Gooding will be on at midday. It's always a cracking listen. I shall be jumping in my car and I shall be listening with my ears, will be how I'm doing it. Ginger people, redheads, if you... Be honest. If you had a baby and it came out into this wonderful world and it had ginger hair, did part of you go, oh? I tell you why. I know a guy, and I couldn't believe it when he told me this story. He had a daughter and their second child was coming and they didn't find out the sex of the second child. He really wanted a son. The second child came out, it was another daughter. And he went, yeah! And then he told me he went outside and cried with disappointment. I couldn't believe he was telling me that. But so that's slightly more extreme. But if you've had a ginger child, did a part of you go, oh, well, never mind. We'll make the best of what we've got. I know it takes a lot to admit that, but you can change your name if you want. 08453 009956. Millie's in Aston. Good morning, Millie.
Morning, Lord.
Are you crying or laughing?
I'm laughing.
Okay, it's difficult.
You just said.
It's
right.
Difficult to tell sometimes.
I don't like blondes.
Yep.
I'm telling the truth. All my daughter-in-laws are redheads.
Yes.
I love redheads.
Yes.
I don't know. The hair, because remember, I'm not used to that hair, you know, like when we growing up. And I see then the little babies and little children, you know, the children growing. Ever so nice. I just play with them.
You've got, Millie, you've got a very strong accent. I'm trying to place where your accent's from. Where is it?
Barbados.
Oh, it's a Barbadian accent. Oh, uh-huh. Very, very exotic.
Yeah, and my dear, that's my grandson.
Yeah.
The top of his hair at the front is red, yeah. Like his mother.
Oh, yeah.
And the back is black, like my son. Right.
He's got two-tone hair?
Yeah. So, and he got freckles in his face. And when he at school, the children say, oh, dear, you're going redhead. Oh. But he got two. It's beautiful when the sun hits his hair. He's really nice.
And his hair, the red part of his hair...
At the top.
Is that real, or does he use it come from a bottle?
No, it's from his mother. I don't like people that blonde, that dye their hair red. I like the proper redhead that born with it from God.
I don't... Yes, I prefer the God-given one.
Yes, I don't think I've
I don't think I've ever seen a natural two-tone.
Yeah, you got to come here and see my deal.
Well, you're in Aston, are you?
Yeah.
Are you free? Is he around this afternoon?
He's coming down today, yes.
What time?
He told me he's coming down.
What time will he be there?
Well, if I tell him to come, don't know he will come. When you finish, you'll come here.
Okay, I'll pop over.
Leave my address with you.
Have you got any biscuits?
Biscuit, yeah. Barbados biscuits.
Barbados biscuits. I'll see you probably about 45 minutes.
All right.
Millie, thank you very much indeed.
Tell Dior to come in. You meet him here, yeah?
Okay. Millie. Oh, I've just remembered I can't. I'm busy. Millie, maybe next week. Maybe next week, Millie. I'd love to. I don't think I've seen. I'm trying to think. Two natural two-tone hair that's two different colours. I don't think I have. Is that a common phenomenon? On the subject of Andy Murray. Whinging like a child who's told he cannot have a puppy. Oh, I want a puppy. You can't have one. It was last night when he was told the roof was going to be closed. I just found it embarrassing. Noel's in King's Heath. Noel, it was embarrassing, wasn't it?
Ian, I'm going to say it was embarrassing, all right, but not in the term that you're going to use.
Oh, okay, go on.
Instead of shutting the roof at Wimbledon last night,
yes,
they should have shut that pole's gob. For good.
Oh, for good.
They should have shut his gob. But around about 8:20 onwards, he never stopped whinging.
Yes.
You're accusing Andy of whinging.
Yes.
This bloke just couldn't stop whinging. And every time he sat down, he had a pop at the umpire. Now, this was pure daylight.
Yeah.
Absolute daylight.
Yes.
And at 20 to 9 or so, sometime before they start to close the roof. I was sitting in my chair in Birmingham with the sunshine outside, pure daylight, glorious.
Yes.
And then the roof was closed. It resumed when it's at 9:20, and it took Andy Murray just over half an hour to complete the final set.
Right.
Now, I would say that from between 9:20 to 9 and 9:10, and I looked out my window again, it was still glorious, pure daylight. Ian,
yes.
Where's your problem?
Well, my problem is there are so many problems you've raised there, Noel. I'm not quite sure where to begin. The thing is, when it's summer, when dusk strikes, it happens very quickly. And even just the slightest change in daylight makes it harder to see the tennis ball when it's moving at speeds of 149 miles per hour, doesn't it?
I've seen matches at Wembley as Wimbledon. They're darker than that when there was no lights.
But when there's so much at stake, the Wimbledon Championship title is at stake. You can't cut corners. And if there is a chance it's going to go dark...
Let's get one thing straight.
Let's do it.
This man was moaning from about 8:15.
This is
onwards.
The other problem I had, yes.
Now, I mean, you should be giving yourself a good smack on the wrist for even suggesting that Murray was whinging. The biggest whinger there last night was Mr. Jerzy Janowicz.
And wasn't it wonderful to watch? Wasn't it a wonderful example?
Well, I tell you what, I think all the tennis yesterday was absolutely brilliant.
But wasn't Jerzy whinging? Was it? It was wonderful theatrics. He brought show business back to a very dull, elitist sport. And also, are you a fan of cricket,
He
Noel?
Bored me to tears.
Are you a fan of cricket, Noel?
I like cricket.
Are you aware of the term sledding?
Sledding? You mean when the bowler is coming up and he's making faces at the batsman?
They make faces at the batsman, and they say rude things about the batsman's, about the batsman's mum. That's all Jerzy was doing. He was sledding Andy Murray.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Ian. This was the semi-final at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And I will not, under any circumstances, accept anybody's excuse for the behaviour of Mr. Janowicz.
No, I really appreciate your call. Stuart, stay on the line. We'll come to Stuart in a second. I just want to squeeze this in, if we can. This is a short little thing about men shaving their chests. I'm a hairy gentleman. You know, and I'm not going to shave my chest or wax it or pluck it. Oh, dearie me. More and more blokes are resorting to doing this to impress the women in their lives. Well, earlier on, I was lucky enough to speak to Claudette Bramley, who runs Clouds Beauty and Male Grooming in Solihull. And I asked her if more men were coming in wanting to be hair-free.
Yes, definitely. With the likes of Daniel Craig and David Beckham, guys just want to have, no hair, basically, and look smooth. And basically, when they weight train and lose a bit of weight, they like to have no hair so they can really show those muscles up. And we find lots and lots of men doing that now.
What's the best method of removing this hair?
I think waxing.
Ooh. It sounds very painful.
It can be. I mean, it's very sensitive, especially when you get up to the chest area. I mean, the abs aren't so bad, but the chest area is quite sensitive and there's deep-rooted hairs there. So, yes, it can be quite sensitive is what I call it.
Claudette,
a bit of a sting.
Do you take a perverse pleasure out of doing this?
I do not. I do feel the pain. And some guys do really suffer, but they tend to go through with it because they just want to look good.
I was brought up in the 70s where we had people like Burt Reynolds, we had Michael Knight, we had proper men with real chest hair who looked women found sexy. When did that change?
Oh, gosh. I'd say a couple of years ago. I mean, guys have always had their backs waxed, but now it tends to be the back and the chest and the abs and everything else.
Steady.
To be honest.
Yes, I know what you're implying.
It's just a new trend in the last couple of years that's really taken off.
Do women not find it pleasurable? And bearing in mind we may have young ears listening. Do women not find it pleasurable, though, snuggling up next to a gentleman and rubbing their fingers through his chest hair?
I think those days are gone. Modern men just want no hair, and women tend to like that better than having a hairy chest.
You mentioned...
And as you get older, these hairs start to go grey and wiry.
Mine are grey and wiry. I'm looking at them now. I've got white ones here. You mentioned the back. My back's starting to go a little bit hairy, to the point where when I go and get my hair cut now, my hairdresser, Joe, says, do you want me to shave the top of your shoulders a bit? Oh, no.
No, don't do it. Get it waxed.
Really?
It's better if you have it waxed, really.
Okay.
Yes, it looks much better.
When it grows back, though, Claudette, can it not be a little bit painful?
You do get some itching, It's not painful. You do get you can feel the hair coming through, but, you just get it waxed as soon as it's ready to be waxed again. So it's one of those.
When did this change, Claudette? Because men, listen, I'm one of those. I'm a slight metrosexual in that I use a bit of moisturiser and I exfoliate. That's probably about as far as I go. Mm-hmm. But when did men start becoming more sensitive about the grooming?
I guess it's more the younger men now. So you've got your early 20s growing up now, and it's just the way things are. Men like to be waxed and be smooth and be groomed. The women like them that way. So you've got your younger guys that really will tend to be well-groomed. The older guys, they may try it. They want to try it, see how it looks. They may have the girlfriends telling them or their wives saying, oh, why don't you try this, why don't you try that? And that's when they come in and say, well, yes, my wife said I should have it done, so I'm going to try it out. They get to like it.
That's been
the last couple of years.
Are we getting to the crux of it, that this is coming from the women more than the men?
Yeah, I think the women prefer the guys to be smooth because they look, you know, at the celebrities, the guys' celebrities, and they think, oh, Daniel Craig's looking good. He's got no hair. You know, his muscles show up better without the hair.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they would like the guys to look like that.
That was me speaking to Claudette Bramley, runs Clouds Beauty and Male Grooming. You'll never catch me waxing my chest. Loads of texts. I've seen them all. I've not managed to read all of them. Paul in Stourbridge says, I don't like Andy Murray either. Wasn't so long ago he was saying he would support any team apart from England. I hope he loses. Stuart's in Stourbridge. You'll be the last call on this, Stuart. What did you make of Andy Murray's whinging last night?
Well, I'm old enough to remember the Connors McEnroe games from the 70s, 80s, and, you know, what's missing in tennis these days is passion.
Yep.
So I'm not critical of one of, you know, the British players showing some passion. At least he's got a desire to win the game.
But it wasn't the kind of the McEnroe passion of throwing the tennis racket down or arguing with the umpire over a point or anything like that. It was just a whinge. I can't think of a better word to describe it than that. It was a spoilt millionaire not getting his way.
No, I disagree with that. I think the Polish player was arrogant from the start. Had spent a lot of time winding Murray up, and if Murray wants to show a bit of frustration during the game, then that's his prerogative.
Stuart, finally, Andy Murray, is he going to win tomorrow?
Absolutely.
You reckon?
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Well, we may talk about this next week. Stuart, you're the last voice. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, everyone who took part. Sorry for all the texts and emails I didn't get round to reading out on air. That's it. That's your lot from me this week. I'll be back next Saturday at 9, filling in for Nick. Do stay tuned, though, because coming up on BBC WM, after the news, it's going to be Tammy Gooding.